Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live. Yep. Wow, very, very good. Thank you, Jesus. I already got a work for the Lord for somebody tonight, so get ready for that. Wow, just downloaded all of a sudden. Just a little bit ago. Yeah. All right, thank you, Jesus, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving your people, knowing your people, speaking to your people. Speaking about your people, speaking to your people about what's going on and what to do. Yeah, we thank you for that, Jesus. And we give you all the glory for what you're about to do tonight for somebody. We thank you for that, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Wow, how the shepherd loves the sheep. He'll leave the 99 and go for one, friend. I mean, he'll go for one person. And I mean that literally. He will stop everything. That's the kind of shepherd that we serve. We serve a living, loving shepherd who knows everything we go through. He knows everything that could possibly go wrong in your life and how to walk your way through it using people. It's amazing that he just uses people. I mean, that's amazing to me that he uses people because that's what he does. He loves to use people. He wants us to be in on the glory. He does. I mean, people say, oh, God didn't want you to have any glory. And he wants to share the glory with us. He said, greater work shall you do than I do. I mean, I don't know what that means to you. Maybe that means the same thing. But, you know, I mean, he wants to do it. He wants to share his power and authority. He gets all the glory because it's all his glory and power. But you know what? He loves the fact that he uses us. I mean, that's what's amazing. And to me, that is really, really amazing. And we are very excited about that God wants to do that with us, and we're partners with him. And that's why the end times are going to be so absolutely amazing, because he's going to use us to do awesome, glorious things. I mean, just think about, you know, everything you ever dreamed of as far as the power of God goes for your life, for your ministry, happening just right in front of us here, right in front of us. And giving you something to look forward to, that God's unlocking you for this very season. And so when you start seeing that, you start understanding that God is truly interested in one thing, and that is he paid the price, he gave his son Jesus, so that you and I could partner with him, because he gave his son for us, right? So if he gave his son for us, then what does us have to do with anything? Well, us, we have to do with, he redeems us, and now he wants to show us off. He wants to say, look what I did, you know. Look what he did for Israel. Look how he showed off Israel. And, you know, made Israel just like, you know, like, looky here. Watch me help my people. Watch me deliver my people. Watch me do some things that you've never seen before. Watch me do stuff for my people. And watch how I'm going to use my people. And God's going to use his people, friend. It's just going to be amazing. And when you start seeing that, you start understanding, oh, yeah, wow, that is awesome. God's going to use me. He's going to use me. And this is the season for God to do it. This is truly the season for God to do it. Because, you know, some of us are going through hard times. Some of us are going through really good times. Some of us are just pressured all the time. We're feeling, you know, like giving up, feel like quitting. We feel like, you know, maybe not that much stuff bad's going on, but just not enough good's going on, not enough of the things that you're believing God for to do and be a part of. You're watching it just not really happen yet. And let me tell you something, friend. God is not desperate. But it does say, blessed are those who are desperate for him, but he's not desperate. But he's literally looking for people that will just let him do whatever he wants to. And that way, because the more you let him do whatever he wants, the more you become partners with him. And the more he makes you look good, you know, he makes you look like, you know, you got something to do with it, which you do. He uses your body. He uses your mind. He uses your thinking. He uses your mouth, for crying out loud. He uses everything about you. He uses your hands, your feet. He uses everything. He needs all of you. That's why we are the temple of God. And so, you know, people back in the days came to see the glory of the temple of God. They just didn't come to see God. They came to see the glory of the temple. Because the glory of the temple was designed by God. And so it's amazing how that we're going to see this in the end times. We're going to see this in such a manner, such a fashion that we've never seen before. And it's just going to be absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so really, really, really good. And I'm really believing God for that to happen. I got to work for somebody tonight. Actually, you know, about an hour and a half ago or so. Actually, I was at the gym doing a light workout. And I don't know why he speaks to me so much at the gym. I guess I listen, I concentrate on the word a little bit more. It's something, I'm not sure what it is, but it's really awesome. So I kind of got it down here. Let me see if I can get that scripture here. Hang on a second. Go ahead. All right, I think it's in Exodus where he was bringing his people out of Egypt. This is a word for someone tonight, maybe two or three people. I don't really know who all it's for, but I know that it's for someone tonight. And we're going to go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version just for the fun of it, 14:13. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this. I want to tell you what the Lord spoke to me before I read you the scripture for this one person, whoever you are, that you have just, you're just wore out. I mean, you are wore out. You just feel like you can't take on anymore. You can't do anymore. You know, it's just the end of your strength. You're just like at the end of your strength. And the Lord says to tell you, that is exactly right. You are at the end of your strength. And the Lord says, you don't realize it, but being at the end of your strength, you enter into God's strength. And somebody tonight is about to enter into God's strength. And because when you feel wore out or at the end of your strength, you're right there getting ready to enter into God's strength. Because sometimes God allows us to use our strength, all of our strength, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, you know, it's what it says, all your energy. And when you do that and you're doing everything you know to do, that's right, you're standing up, and you're getting knocked down, and you get up again, and you're like Rocky Balboa, and you got the tiger in your eyes, or at least not yet, but and you're boxing, you've been boxing, you're at the last round, and you're like going, man, I wish somebody just knocked me out. Or I'd knock them out because this is like, I can't even hardly stand here. I'm just completely wore out. And the Lord says, that's right. And that means that you're at the point of the end of your strength, but you haven't identified it as the end of your strength. Because let me tell you something, friend. When you walk in the strength of God, that strength never runs out. Never. God's strength doesn't ever run out. We can never say, I ran out of strength. You can run out of physical strength. You can run out of emotional strength. You can run out of psychological strength. You can run out of all kinds of strengths. But you can never, God's strength never wears out. Jesus got tired. He got sleepy. That was physical. But the only time you see him get overwhelmed is when he's transferring into a new era by entering into saying, not my will, but thy will be done at the Garden of Gethsemane. That's when you see him entering into a whole other level of strength, of God's strength even. Has he been being used by God's power? God's power is what? God's power is God's strength. And so he learned how to do only what he saw the Father did. Because when you're doing what you know, God sometimes tells you to do something, and you do the best you can with the strength that you have. It's not, that's not a wrong thing. That's not a carnal thing. That's not a bad thing. That's just what you do. And you use all the strength you have fighting the fight and doing the battle, and that's all part of it. And the sooner you realize and understand
that there's a purpose in everything that goes on like that, where you are using up your strength. And some people are pretty strong, so it takes a lot to get them to enter into God's strength because they're very strong. I've heard people say, yeah, that's a one strong person. I mean, I've had people say that to me, that you are one strong. You are one strong person. And I'm not sure that was a compliment exactly, but they were saying to me, you are strong. You have a strong will. You know what it's like when you get two strong-willed people together? It's just like a disaster unless they learn to work together, right? Because one wears the other one out. And whoever has the most strength wins most of the time, right? And so, but the thing is that there's nothing wrong with using your strength because we must labor to enter into the rest. But what does the rest mean? The rest means you go from your strength, coming to the end of your strength. Some of you to say you've come to the end of your strength is a big milestone. Some people that know you, man, if he comes to the end of his strength or she comes to the end of her strength, wow, I'll be like amazed because that it seems like it never goes on. It just never ends. They just keep going. I mean, it's like the battery bunny, whatever it is, the ever ready battery bunny. It just keeps on going. You know, because what happens is, you know, God wants you to literally use your strength and wear your strength out because, number one, he wants you to see that your strength can't get the job done. Oh, it can get you in the process, but it can't win the victory. It's part of the process. The Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, not all his soul. All your love. Love him with all your love. So you have love and God has love. When you learn to love God with all your love, instead of spreading it out thin through the family, to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to whoever else, to your business, your church friends, whatever they are, and you spread all that out, you're going to wear yourself out. And so God wants, at the same time, he knows that you and I are just automatically going to use our strength, thinking that's just the way it is, until we come to the end of it and we go, man, I just can't go on anymore. I can't handle this. I've been whooped up on. I've been knocked down. You know, where's the victory? And that's the sign that you are so close to resurrection power. You're so close. But the Lord says, stand now, stand still. Now that you're out of strength, where you almost have to stand still, right? The Lord says, stand still. In other words, don't panic, don't run, don't quit, but stand still. In other words, don't use any more. Your energy is wore out. You've used all your energy. God goes, thank you. That's good. You use all your love to love him with. And when his love kicks in, friend, his love is always abiding. It never stops. It's always amazing. It's always powerful. It's always there for you. It's always strong. God's strength never runs out. If your strength is running out, that's okay. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you're carnal. It does. Paul the Apostle was a very, 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 very strong person, just like Peter was. Peter was very strong, very courageous, of his own courage. And that was not a bad thing, except for when it comes to supernatural warfare, your courage runs out. It just comes to the point where it just stands still. I can't do anything. I don't know where to go. I can't move. I'm wore out. This thing's got me, man. What am I going to do? Oh, my God. And God's going, yee-haw. We finally got him right where we want him. And he says, stand still. Now, what else can you do? He's trying to say, don't panic. Don't let fear get a hold of you because fear will give you its energy. If you start walking in the energy of fear, then fear will cause you to go in all the wrong directions. Faith will cause you to trust in God's strength and God's love. Well, somebody out there tonight, I don't know who you are, I don't know what's going on with you, but you've been doing a good thing, and this is not discouragement to those who are using all your energy, because sometimes we have to come to the end of our strength so that we can step in and cross over into God's strength. And people think, that you can just do it. Oh, I don't have to go through all this stuff. I know how to not to use my strength. No, you don't. You really don't. I mean, you don't. And if you could, then Paul the Apostle could. Even Jesus struggled with his own strength. He had to leave his own strength behind, the strength of being God in the flesh. He had to leave that behind in the sense of not using his authority as God. He had to submit to the will of the Father. He had to become weak. Paul the Apostle said, I've become weak. How did he become weak? Because God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Why did God give him a thorn in the flesh? Number one was to keep him humble, but number two, it was to keep him from using his strength. So it was to bring him to the end of his strength, actually, and cause him to have to step into the strength and the resurrection power of Jesus. And that's what he said. He said, I boast in my weaknesses. Remember when that Donald talked about that? That was really good. I want to steal that from you, man. That's awesome. I give you some credit for a couple of times that I was, you know, like, hey, that's wow. Yeah. I remember Jesse Duplantis used to say that about people's revelations. He probably meant it too. I don't know, but I really like that. Friend, that's it. Because when you're out of strength and you're not using your strength, then you step into God's strength. Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. The reason he had less strength than you and I had, in a sense, it's because he was the Son of God. And he was born of the Spirit. He was born of the Spirit of the Virgin Mary, conceived in the womb by the Holy Ghost, and he was the Word made flesh. And he's not talking about his physical strength. His physical strength got tired. He slept. He got tired and slept on a pillow. Yeah, he did. So it's not about running out of physical strength. We all do that every day. Paul did that. Jesus did that. So him being perfect and getting tired and sleeping because of all the running around he did, that's not carnal. That's not bad. That's not meaning you're weak. That's just life. So what kind of strength are we talking about? We're talking about the strength of the will. Because sometimes God will drain you of your will by getting you to say, well, are you going to choose me now? Are you going to choose me now? Are you going to choose me? Lord, I've chosen you the best way I know how every time, and I still don't see the breakthrough in this area. Like, I know I'm going to have it. What's going on with this particular thing? How come I can't see? Because you have too much energy, and you're using your energy. So I'm going to let you use all your energy and keep saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my strength, not my energy, but thy energy, thy will, thy power. Jesus even struggled with it. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, you know, there's another way. Let it pass. Nevertheless, I know you're going to give me the strength to do this because he knew. Here's what I'm talking about, friend. You cannot do God's perfect will mixed with your strength, with his strength. You can't do it. Peter's strength was his courage. He was very courageous. But when it came to the pressure after Gethsemane, and he was asked, when Jesus was being brought before the Sanhedrin, they said, do you know him? And he goes, no, I don't know him, blanky, blank, blank. Why do you do that? Because his strength wore out. Your strength cannot handle that kind of thing. Neither can mine. Nobody's strength. We think, oh, my strength, I'm strong. Well, the stronger you are, the harder you're going to have to work, if you will, to come to the end of that, pursuing God. And then when you finally say, like Abraham, you know what God did with Abraham, right? Abraham, God just flat wore him out, man. I mean, he wore him plumb out. He was wore out. He said after 25 years, hey, God, you know, this thing ever going to happen? I guess me and Sarah going to have to figure out a way that maybe this is what you want. Why? Because he came to the end of his own strength. He was coming to the end of his own strength, and he's thinking, I got to save this thing. I got to save this thing. I got enough strength to just, you know, have one now. So let's just do this. And they did. And it was, you know, done the wrong way, and Ishmael was conceived, brought into the world, a sign of man's strength, trying to do God's will. Did you know that God even circumcised Ishmael the same day he circumcised, he had Abraham circumcised himself? I read that today in Genesis. Yeah, he got circumcised the same day. The circumcision, Ishmael was part of the circumcision. He wasn't the promised seed, but he was in the circumcision, the covenant of God. The strength of men is in this, has a covenant with God, but you know what? As long as we're working in our own strength, we're going to be like a wild donkey. That's what it says about Ishmael. He told his mom, he said, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be like a wild donkey. Yeah. Who wants to be said that? Your child's going to be a wild donkey? Oh, my gosh. I don't want that. Why? Because he's going to be strong in himself, have a desire for God, but it's going to be in his own strength. And he'll always be causing trouble. And that's what people do in their own strength, in their own energy, trying to do something for God. They usually cause a lot of problems. I know. I've been there and done that. Maybe you have too. So if you're coming to the end of your strength, friend, be still and know that I am God. I want to read this scripture to you and kind of go here just for a moment. Verse 13, they had come to, the Egyptians had come after them. They'd come out of Egypt, and now they're up against the Red Sea. There's no way out. They're cornered in. God brings the cloud, the glory cloud. And I noticed today that it says the glory cloud brought darkness. Now watch this. Let me see where this is at. It's right there in, I don't even see it right now. But it said that the glory cloud, the cloud that they, the Holy Spirit represents, it said the cloud brought darkness to Egypt, but the same cloud brought light to Israel. I don't see it right now in front of me, but I read that earlier. And I was kind of surprised, so I had to read it over and over again, going, did I just read that right? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah. I'm trying to see it here. All right. You just go there, you'll find it. Exodus chapter 14. And which is very significant, by the way. All right, so this is a problem for somebody tonight. Somebody needs this, or you need to give this to somebody or something, whatever's going on with you. You feel like you're backed up to the Red Sea. There's no way out. The enemy's right there. Yes, God's got the cloud there, and he's got them in darkness, and he's got you in the light. It's almost like the light, they could see you real good, but you couldn't see them. Yeah. I don't know whether that's good or not. They could see you real good because the light's on you, but they were in darkness. So it's like, wow, what was that? What does that mean? So sometimes that's how you feel. You feel like the light's on you, but the enemy's all around you. And it's like God saying, oh, yeah, there they are right there. See them? See the light? I got the light on them. There they are. But they don't realize that light is going to protect them. And so anyway, so you're backed up to the Red Sea. You feel like I've had enough. This is all, my strength is, I'm wore out, completely wore out, completely gone. What can I do now? I don't know what to do. And God told Moses in verse 13 to the people. He said, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Be still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this is for somebody. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Listen to the rest of this. Today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Wow. That's a word from God for somebody tonight. He said, be still. Don't panic. Don't run. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because the same enemy you see today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, hold your peace means you're not going to have the opposite, no peace. God's about to bring you peace. And they crossed over, as you know. And as they crossed over, God opened up for them the waters. But when the enemy began to pursue them, which was the strategy of God, God will do this. Sometimes he will harden people's hearts to the point where they will come after you, and he sets a trap for them, if you will. This is God, not me. This is God, not me. God sets a trap for them, and they run into that trap, and he nails them. And he nails them good. And he nails them all the way, where they have nothing. You can't even see them. They are buried. God is about to bury your enemies tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak to you tonight, and I'm telling you by the glory of God, something's happening with you right now in the name of Jesus. And God says, stand still. Don't run. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't go the other direction. Don't change direction. Stand still. When you stand still, you're not going any direction. You're just standing still right where you are. You have no more strength. What do you think your strength is going to do you? It won't. And God says, I'm getting ready to show you my strength and my glory. Paul the Apostle was given a thorn in the flesh. So his own energy would not work, but it's by the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Abraham had run out of strength. I mean, it was over for him. Literally, physically over. He had no more physical strength to have children. They had no ability to have a child. And right when they didn't have ability to have a child, right when they ran out of their own strength, God came along and he says, now, watch what I do. Woo! Watch what I do. It's not about what you do. It's what I do. You've stood with me. Just stand with me. Just stand still. That's your part. If you'll stand still, that's our partnership. Just stand still. Don't start accusing. Don't start running. Don't start blaming people for stuff. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, God Almighty. Hallelujah. I loosen you tonight from your fear. I loosen you from that panic. I loosen you from wanting to run. I loosen you from wanting to start blaming other people and blaming yourself. Don't blame nobody. God has set you up to use all your strength up, so you have to depend on his strength. Yeah. Because if you run, you're going to get a new strength, all right. But that fear is going to give you energy to run the wrong direction. You're going to run right into the hands of the enemy. You're going to run right back into slavery. You're going to run right back into bondage. God says, don't let fear give you the energy when you've run out of your own energy trying to serve me, because it will. Let my Holy Ghost, my Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, come upon you, hovering over you now. Said, let there be light. Oh, yeah. Let there be life. Let there be an opening before you in Jesus' name. I got angels. One angel can whoop up on 100,000 men. Don't even worry about how many angels you got. There's more of us than there are of them. Like Elisha told his servant, had opened up his eyes because he was in fear. Well, who wouldn't be? My goodness, that was amazing. Friend, God strengthened you tonight with his strength. You have no more strength. It's okay that you don't have strength. It's not, you're not carnal. You're not going the wrong direction. The devil doesn't have a hold. The devil's not winning. No, the devil's not winning. God just has allowed things to happen to get you to use your own energy up, because when you mix your energy with his energy, you got a mixed work going on. Like part Babylon, part flesh, part God, part faith confession, the strength of your mouth, and the strength of God. No, it's all God. You only say what he says, friend. You only speak what he's speaking. If you're speaking what if you're speaking something that's just you, I don't care if it's scripture, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're just speaking out of your strength, that's going to get you nowhere. It's going to create nothing. It's not going to do anything. You are not God, right? I am not God. We cannot take God's word and create whatever we choose. We learn how to yield to the Father, to see whatever I see him do, that's what I do. I'm following him. I'm not the leader. I'm not coming up with something that I think is the best thing. That's your energy. That's my energy working. It doesn't work. I've tried it, and so have you. And God says you've come to the end of it. It's okay. It's not the devil's out of control. Oh, my God, I'm going to give up. It's like, oh, I'm going to lose. Yeah, you are going to lose. Jesus said he who loses his life will gain mine. He who loses his strength will gain my strength. It's okay. It's not bad. Don't condemn yourself. Don't run in fear because, oh, my God, now look what's going to happen. I just thought this was going to happen. I thought that was going to happen. I thought it was going to be this. I thought it was going to be that. God, you said you're going to deliver me. And now, look here. Oh, my God, I'm backed up against the water, and they're all going to come get us. There they come. They're strong. They're mighty. We ain't got nothing. They're whacking at us a little bit at a time every day. Oh, now they're going to take us down. No, they are not going to take you down. Woo! Stand still, friend, and see the salvation. You're going to see the reward of the wicked with your own eyes, Psalms 91. You're going to see it. And you've done all you know to do. Stand. I know most of you in the spirit, and you've done all you do all you know to do. And you're going like, God, where is he? He says, yeah. Well, I have to get you to do all. It's a partnership. You do all you got to do. You come into your strength. You know where you know you can't. Where you know you can't do it. But you've done what I said. You've done all you know to do. That I told you to do. You've done that. And now watch me work. Watch me work. Hallelujah. Watch me work, saith the Lord. My God, my Lord, and my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The glory of Jesus is all over you right now. Come alive with the strength of Jesus. Come alive with the power of God. Rise up. Arouse yourself in the Holy Ghost and live and breathe and have your being in Jesus. For he lives. He ever lives to intercede, interceding in you and through you. You can't lose. With God on your side, how can you lose? You cannot lose. Oh, you lose. You lose. You lose your strength. You run out of that. That's what God's whole design is. He works you to death and gets you down to seven. You got to go, I don't understand. Why ain't happening yet? Exactly. Well, because he wants you to use all your energy. It's like love the Lord thy God with all your strength. That's what it says, right? Love the Lord thy God with all your love. All your love, not God's love, in you, all your love. You love him with all your love. And when you love him with all your love, then he comes in and he says, when you love me with all your love, and you've emptied your love out to me, then I will come and love through you with an ever-enduring love that never dies and never quits and never stops. Hallelujah. Love endures forever. Hallelujah. Love is almighty. Love is all-powerful because love is all God. And God is all love. Hallelujah. Somebody's being washed and cleansed right now. I see somebody weeping in the spirit. My God, I loosen you. You're a child of the living God. Come forth in Jesus' name in the resurrection power of Yeshua, the Son of the living God, and live and not die, and declare the glory of God. You are not going to die. You are going to live. I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about in any kind of way, financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. You are not going to die. You're going to live. But sometimes you have to lose before you win. Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake. For my sake. See, so you're losing your energy for his sake. You're doing it with all your energy, with all your might. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all your strength, all your energy, all your might. That's what you do. That's what that way you're giving it all to him. Well, that's not what's making it work, but that's what you do. And when you give it all to him and you've given it all and you're out of it, and he goes, yeah, now I'm going to fill you up. Woo, Jesus, I'm going to fill you up with glory. I'm filling you up with the blood of Jesus, with a new DNA. I'm filling you up with a new purpose. I'm filling you up with a plan that you've never even understood yet or seen. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither had it entered into the hearts of you who love God. But it shall be revealed to those who yield to the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Come alive, I say, in Jesus' name. Come alive. Let every lie from hell, let every lie that your flesh been telling you, let every lie that the world brings toward you be broken off you, cleansed off you, washed off you, and all that vomit. In Jesus' name, I wash it in the blood. I wash you and cleanse you by the washing of the water of the word, the washing of the water of this word tonight. The washing of the water of this word tonight is cleansing you, washing you, refreshing you, taking that smell of vomit and stench away from you. For all you smell is sweetness, sweet Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. You're entering into the sweet Jesus realm. Hallelujah. The sweet, not the tough on me Jesus, not the strongest. No, he's all those things, friend, but he's also the sweet Jesus. And I loose some sweet Jesus on you tonight. Hallelujah. And you want him. We want him. He is our master. He is our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Man, I got that word about 2 hours ago, maybe two or three. And I mean just out of the blue, just like I'm talking to you in my spirit. The Lord says, I'm going to tell somebody now. Tell them, be still. Be still. Don't panic. Don't run. Your strength is out. You're wore out. That's where I want you. I want you wore out. I want you to use up all your energy. Because my energy, that's not God's energy. Energy you've run out of. You run out of your own. And God says that's not a bad thing. He started explaining that's not a bad thing. That's not a negative. That means you're doing the right thing when you run out of your own strength. When you come to the end of your rope. That's when God shows up, friend. He can't come until your strength is wore out. Just like when you go, you hear the story about when they're out to sea and they got to save somebody. Somebody's out there drowning, and they're whoa, whoa, you know, they come up, go down once, go down twice. When they know they run out of strength, that's when they go out there and get them. They don't go out there and get them when they're strong, maybe until they're wore out. Well, they can't fight, right? Can't fight. You fight the good fight, and then that fight is over, then you enter into the fight of the Lord, and then into his battle, his strength. And it's just now, the timing for you is just perfect because of where we're going and what's happening with God. Hallelujah. We just had another breakthrough today in our trading agreement. We've had some issues because people there have been getting sick. The contact lady that we deal with, I don't know if she said she had COVID or not, but she's been sick for the last 2 weeks because they haven't contacted me in 2 weeks. I'm going like, what is going on around here, you know? I'm just trying to be patient. It's really hard. Trying to be nice. I'm calling them saying, hey, don't forget me, but I'm trying to be nice. I am nice. I'm being nice to them, right? Kind of what's going on. Nobody's talking to me. Well, they had been sick, and I got a call today and letting me know that one last little thing that we had to have a wet, what they call a wet signature on a paper, designating Randy as the actual trader who does the trading because I want to get the words, I can trade it without having to get approval from anybody else. And that's kind of the final straw that they even forgot to tell me about. So they did that. We're doing that. I'm going to get that done in the next couple of days. They'll approve that. And hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of other things going on with that too. So just pray. We're doing all kinds of things. All kinds of things going on. Amen. All right. Good to be with you tonight. I hope whoever that was tonight, you heard the message of the Lord tonight. I hope you heard that. I'm sure you did. Maybe if you're not listening right now, you're on the archive. And God's going to bless you.
and he's going to give you his strength. And he wanted you to know that just because you didn't get the victory, so to speak, with your own strength, that that was God's will. He didn't want you to get the strength, your strength. He didn't want your strength to get it. But he wanted you to use your strength to end your strength so that you could end up in his strength, right? And so when you do that and you end up in his strength, it's absolutely amazing that that's when you enter into the victory. Hallelujah. Absolutely amazing. Well, I just never thought about that before. You know, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, thy might, and thy strength, right? Thy strength, not the strength of God, but your strength. And what happens with that? You enter into his strength. Amen? Yeah. Wow, I just really got that today. I think I knew that already in some ways, but I think because it was the word for somebody tonight, that God bless you for whoever needed that, because you are wore out, man. It's just, you wore out. And God saw it, God knew it, and the timing is right. If you're listening to this on the archive or whatever, you listen to it tomorrow, you're not on tonight, that'll be good. God will bless you. All right, let's take our callers tonight. Thank you, Jesus. All right, get your hand up there tonight if you want to get ministered to. We're going to pray for everybody tonight. We're not going to take conversations. So get ready for that. We're just going to ask for your number. Tanisha and Terrence went to their son's first football game tonight. And, you know, they didn't have their show tonight because they had their son had their first football game. And when they told me that, I texted them back. I said, yeah, you know what? I remember my first football game back in junior high, whatever it was, how exciting it was, but I was scared to death. I was scared. It was scary. It's scary. You get before people, you know, am I going to do my job right? You know, it's scary. And so she says, she just texted me a little bit ago. She says, our son's team won. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Okay. Let's take callers tonight. We're going to do that now. And thank you, Jesus. Let's go here. So pray. The trade thing got delayed a little bit because I couldn't figure out why they weren't contacting me. People have been getting sick. There's a lot of people getting sick. And so she called me today and apologized. And so I just, you know, that's kind of being nice. I didn't say anything. I didn't, why didn't you call me, you know, 2 weeks ago and tell me you were sick? I just said, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's do this thing. And so kind of one more thing we had to do, get a wet, what they call a wet signature, and on who's going to do the trading. That's me out of all the group that we have. And if God gives it to me, get ready, friend. Get ready. God's good. God is good. It's all working out in God's timing. You know, I get pushy and chevy and just get this thing done. Yeah, yeah. And I'm wearing myself out. You know, the Lord says, yeah, when you come to the end of your energy where you know that your pushy chevy doesn't get it done, you know, it's only me, you're going to learn, Randy. I go, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I know. All right, let's go here. All right, 325, you're going to be my first caller. Thank you for being on there. And then 585, you're our second one. 214. With a 5 on it, 214, 5563, you'll be after that. 784, you'll be next after that. Let's see here. 919, 801, you'll be after that. Thank you. All right, 610. After that, 903. Thank you, 903. Thank you. 803-991 after that. And then 202 after that. 202 after that. 402 after that. 402-214. And then 912-246 after that. Let's go. That's my 402-214. No, 912 doesn't have their hand up. Sorry. Number two, if you don't get your hand up there. And if you don't have your hand up, I will not call you because maybe you're just trying to listen. So. All right, let's go here to 325. See what's going on. All right, 325, are you there tonight? Who am I talking to?
Yes, this is Chris from Texas. Chris from Texas.
All right, Chris. Yes, sir. Good to have you, Chris. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. You know, just like I that's just kind of, I know there's a song that goes to this, but it's not the meaning that it doesn't match up. But it's knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. It's like I see you knocking. It's like sometimes, you know, we knock on these doors, all these different doors. You know, like I know I do. I knock on whatever door. Hey, is this the door? Knocking on this door. God, are you there? Yeah. Yeah. Which door is this going to be? Which door? And it's like I heard the Lord say this song that goes, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Like you were knocking on heaven's door. Amen. In other words, you're knocking on the right door. God says you're knocking on the right door. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Right away, just the Lord telling me, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. And that's not about going to heaven. It's about knocking on the right door. So when I heard that, I go, thank you, Jesus. That's really cool. So thank you, Lord, for all the process you've been bringing Chris through, God, all the process, all the ways he's grown. The Lord says to say, Chris, you have grown much more than you realize. And pretty soon you're going to look back and go, wow, you know, look what God has done for me. Look what God has done. It's not what God has done for me, but look what God has done in me. And the more he does in you, the more he can do for you, because he does for you after he does in you. And doing in you is what opens up the door, what guides you to the right door, what brings you to the right place. You don't even know what you're doing. You can be standing at the right door thinking, am I at the right door? I think I just knock on it anyway. And you don't even realize you were in perfect timing, perfect lineup of the Lord. And so God is saying, I'm showing you my perfect timing. And it's not about always knowing everything, Chris. It's not always automatic. I know everything. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm everywhere I'm going. You know, it's because if we knew that all the time, you know, we become vulnerable before the Lord. And when you become vulnerable for the Lord, that makes you not just do all the right things, but it makes you depend on him as a person. And the Lord is showing you how to depend on him as a person, because it's like building a house with the Lord and without the Lord. It's like, you know, you can do it without the Lord. I mean, as far as, you know, he'll give an angel or something. He'll give you some angelic help or whatever, but it's like he likes to build with us. He wants to build. He wants to be there with us. You know, yeah, you can do it without me. You know, I'll send some angels, and you know, if you want, okay. But I mean, it's like he wants to be there with you, to build with you, and eat lunch with you, and you know, laugh and tell jokes and have fun and pray and think and talk, learn to talk things out and reason things out and figure things out with God. It's like he wants to be there, and that's the way Moses was, Chris. You know, Moses knew that it was a lot more fun with God being there than it was just a bunch of angels to do the work. The angels did the work. But fellowshipping with God, fellowshipping with Jesus, having Jesus on the job instead of just a bunch of angels just to get the job done. Sometimes we just want to get the job done. The Lord is a lot more interested in just getting the job done, bro. You know that. He wants to get to know us. He wants to teach us his ways in a very personal way. Yeah, and I see that really happening with you. It really early on. I don't know what that is. Cool, man. I feel the love of God. You feel the love of God on that, bro? I don't know if you feel that or not. I feel the love of God all over that. It's like, yeah. Cause Moses was told by God, you know, God told him, he said, Moses, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel. And Moses go like, well, you know, like, I don't know what he was thinking exactly. But like, I think he was thinking like, well, it's not going to be any fun without you, God. I mean, the angels can do the work, but I need somebody to talk with and share with and, you know, help me and do things. And, you know, yeah, thank God for the angels, but you know, I'm not going to go if you don't go. You know, and that's kind of the way it was. Like, Jesus, you know, can you show up on the job and be with me? I'd like to have you. And the Lord's just like waiting for you to ask him. I love it. It's like the Lord's not exactly what we think he is. Sometimes he wants us to ask him to stay. He wants to stay. But he's like saying, let's just see if he asked me to stay. Let's see if he asked me to eat lunch with him and spend the day and we cut the wood together and, you know, tear down things together and build things together. Just getting to know all about you. Yeah. And experiencing him and loving him and being friends and finding out what he's like and listening to his stories. Yeah, Jesus is a lot different than we think he is. He likes to tell stories. He loves kids. He loves kids. Oh, my God. He loves children. He loves those baby dogs, man. You understand why God does all he can to get women pregnant? You know, whatever way. He wants it done the right way. He's like, you know what? I'll just take anywhere I can get it. I just want a baby. I like kids. I like children. I like everybody. I love them all. All right. 585-436. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, it's Anonymous.
Anonymous. I think you went from Anonymous to Anonymous. So you changed your name to Anonymous instead of Anonymous. I'm going to write that down. Anonymous. Anonymous. And I don't know what's going on with me tonight already. I'm like wanting to have fun, but you know, this is the way I'm seeing Jesus more and more all the time. It's like, as y'all know, anonymous. I used to be so serious all the time. I mean, I'm going to win the whole world to Jesus. I literally was, when I was in that my little town I was raised in, and you know, from fifth grade on, graduated from high school, and you know, went back to when I got saved, and I went from door to door. I was determined I'm going to win the whole town of Jesus. I didn't do it, but you know, it was warfare, boy. I mean, it was like difficult, and it's like, you know, I was so serious, man. We're going to win the whole world of Jesus, and I'd be serious on top of it. Everything was serious. I didn't have any real relational atmosphere about me. It's just kind of like, okay, I'm here for one thing only. You want Jesus or not? And I wouldn't say that. I would always say, you know, has anybody ever told you about Jesus? That was my favorite thing. Has anybody ever told you about Jesus? He loves you, you know, that was my message. And so the Lord says, Randy, you need to chill out, man. And so as you probably know, he gave me an open vision of him standing there laughing. You know, holding his belly, he was laughing so hard, his belly was hurting, like laughing. It was such a beautiful laugh. It was just so fun. It's like an inviting laugh. Like, you know, you want to make me curious of what he was laughing about. You know, like, what are you laughing about? It kind of is. His laughter, his fun kind of just sucks you right in, man. It's like, you know, what's going on? What are you laughing at? You know, what's going on? It's like he used it as a tool to suck you in, you know. And I have a feeling that if you're like me, you're pretty serious. You're very serious about things. And that's good. But the Lord told me, he said, when I started being less serious, believe it or not, and having more fun and laughing and enjoying people, like now I enjoy people more than I ever have. I think as I got older, I've learned to just have fun with people. I'm not trying to win them to Jesus every second I'm not always looking for a way to get Jesus in there. You know, God guides me. He leads me. You know, I'm going to enjoy people. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to love sinners. I'm going to be friends with sinners. I am. I'm going to be friends with sinners and not do their sin, not be in their sin, but just be friends with them and enjoy them. And if they say something nasty and dirty and say something wrong, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, you shouldn't have said that. Give me the old frown, you know, disapproval look. I just kind of like, you know, open door to just sit down and have fun. And the beauty of the Lord and all that is absolutely amazing. And so I see God really opening up to the beauty of his friendship and of his love and of just, you know, outright just being able to, you know, just talk about, you know, how to cook a sandwich, how to cook, you know, out on the grill, how to cook fish out on the grill. I think he likes fish. How to cook fish out on the grill and how to make the best. And he could probably teach you some really cool stuff about what to put on there, what to not put on there, and how to make it really taste good and just love sharing, teaching, enjoying. And God, and the teacher inside of you, Anonymous, the teacher in you, not only teaching you, but teaching others how to just be full of life and enjoy life and still with the intention and with the motivation of winning that, you know, the whole time you're being friendly and you're not looking down on them when they cuss and say nasty things, you know, the whole time you're doing, you know what's going on. You know what God's doing. He's being friendly because he wants them to get saved, but he has a whole different strategy to it, right? Yeah. So I see God really doing, giving you different strategies, the teacher inside of you teaching you how to say things, how to sing, how to talk, how to, you know, present yourself. Because presentation is many times, we know what we feel like on the inside. Sometimes people on the outside don't know us are going like, you know, I don't really know you. I don't know what you are. Oh, yeah. But, so we present this, not a phony thing, but just a thing that they can relate to, that people can relate to become relatable to people. And how that opens up, and then that's when it happened, as it happened to me more and more doors started opening up. More and more doors opening up, more and more doors opening up. And I see doors opening up for you with that in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 214-563. Am I talking to you in front, please?
Mahogany, Texas.
Oh, hi, Mahogany. All right, Mahogany. Let's get you on here. Thank you, Mahogany. Thank you, Jesus. Mahogany, I just see God's grace and his favor and unmerited, undeserved favor and grace, you know, just really coming on you so that you can be more gracious about yourself and to yourself and being kinder to yourself. You know, sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, Mahogany. I've been really hard on myself over the years. That's one of the reasons that God had me take communion, because he knows I'm very – I tend to be more serious than the other way around, and I tend to be more serious about my relationship with Jesus and, you know, being right, doing right, and doing everything right, to where, you know, I really get, you know, hard on myself. And the Lord say, when he starts imparting grace to me, and as he imparts grace to you, it's about being kind to yourself. You know, Jesus was a friend to sinners. You know, how much more can be a friend to us when we mess up or don't say the right thing or don't do everything perfectly? You know, much less a sinner, right, who's trying to mess up and who doesn't care. But us who are trying to do everything right and yet we still don't do it all perfectly, like how much more grace? He gives us grace. That when we don't make it all right and do it all right, he says, you know what? I love you. if you can't do it, I'll just do it for you. Yeah, I'll just do it for you. And it's like he wants us to know that, yeah, we try hard, but you know what? He's going to get the job done no matter what. As long as you love him and you want him and you want it right, you want to do it right, he's going to do it. It's not about how strict you are on yourself or how hard you are on yourself, but it's about giving yourself unmerited, undeserved favor, giving yourself that. And then as God develops that more and more, like he did Paul the Apostle, God would not remove that thorn in the flesh because he wanted him to learn how to live off grace. What is grace? Unmerited, undeserved favor. And so that's what he did. And so as I see you walking in that place, then you're able to give it to other people. Going to find yourself going, you know, I know we all weigh each other on what they do and what they don't do, how good they are and how good they're not, you know, and we kind of weigh out things and go, yeah, well, you know, I can be, you know, sometimes we withdraw from people at times when we think they're not doing the right thing, so they know that we don't like it, you know, and then I'm not saying there's not a time to do that, because there is. The Bible talks about it, to shame people sometimes. That's what the Lord says, do that. I used to be really good at that part. But the Lord says, you know, but sometimes we present an atmosphere of grace and mercy because he's given us grace, because we're feeling that unmerited, undeserved favor on us. Like, wow. And the more we realize that we have undeserved, unmerited favor when we don't do it all perfect and get it all right all the time, then it causes us to relax. I see you relaxing more and more and more and more and more, like Paul the Apostle did. Paul the Apostle was strict. He was hard on himself. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was very serious. He was killing Christians. He thought he was doing God's will. He was a very serious guy. And God had to teach him how to live from grace and have been gracious to himself, because he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I killed the brethren. I killed Christians. Had them murdered. Stephen, even, the most precious man ever, Stephen. He had Stephen killed. Stephen was a precious, precious person of God. And he had him stoned, had him killed. And so Paul, when he became aware of what he had done, And what he had destroyed, oh, he needed grace, unmerited favor, to keep from, cursing himself and blaming himself. Amen? Yeah. So when we start coming out from underneath that, then we start giving that to other people. And when we give it to them, oh, it opens up doors of just beauty, and people can relax and be themselves, and then they want to change instead of us trying to make them change or trying to make ourselves change even. We start finding grace to, quit being so hard on yourself. Jesus, I know, I love you. I never stopped loving you. You love me. And so I'm just going to let you change me. I'm going to let you work on me. I'm going to let you do a job in me. And it's just unmerited favor. And then it starts flowing out of you into your children, into your friends, into your whoever they are, and causing revival. Causing revival in Jesus' name. All right, 754-240. We'll talk to you very quickly, please. All right. That's Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya tonight. Lord, I thank you. I'm still talking about your teaching you did last Wednesday, I think, or last Tuesday, whatever it was. Dude, I'm still giving you credit for it at this point. That was so awesome. So thank you, Jesus, man. It's really cool. So I see God really breaking things in your mind, breaking limitations to where you have exercised your faith, and it's like, kind of like growing out of your clothes when you're growing up, like when you're 12 years old and you turn 13, and all of a sudden your body starts taking off. You got muscles. You got your legs are long. The clothes that fit you last year are like 3 inches too short. Can't even get the shirt on. It's too small. It's like I see you, and all of a sudden you realize I've grown, and I see God, like breaking, like wearing a helmet, and that helmet just breaks because your head, grew. You went from, a 12-year-old's head to a 13, 14-year-old's head, totally, totally bigger, totally good. Your clothes, your muscles, everything, your shape and your form begins to kick in, and then the old adolescent clothes no longer worked. They didn't fit. And so it's almost like it's hard to describe what I see, but it's like I see that helmet you have on, like a hat or whatever, it's like it breaks apart because the limitations are broken. It's like God has broken the limitations. You're maturing into that new place with the Lord and finding yourself, in a new place of freedom, finding yourself in a new place of love, finding your place in a new self, place of acceptance among the brethren in the Lord at a higher level. And it's just really a beautiful time. And God's rewarding you. It's like rewards. And you, now you're going to learn how to function in that realm. And my new body, my new mind, my new brain. My brain works different now. And my legs are longer. I'm tall. My feet are bigger. I have to get new shoes. It's like that. And it's like entering into that new phase of growth. And learning, and now learning how to function in that. Beautiful, very, very beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya. The same basic thing, God, to them growing together in Jesus' name. And the baby, I think the baby is due any minute. I don't know. Nobody's texted me. Let me know that you've had it yet. Thank you, Jesus, for Tanya and that baby doll, that sweet baby doll in her womb. In Jesus' name, precious, blessed hope. There's something about this child that has to do with blessed hope. I don't know why. I don't know what. But you and this child, and like the teamwork, the mother's a teamwork thing. You have to carry that baby. Your body nurtures that body. You don't really have to do anything. You don't have to, like, go down and, hey, Mom, I'm out of milk. Can you go get some milk? Like in your womb. Like, can you give me some milk? I'm getting thirsty. Now your body just, well, you drink, that child drink. It's like there's no feeding that child individually. It's like your body, you and your body feed that child, and that child grows in your womb. Your body is made to function, and the child will grow inside you. And so I really see that God's been doing that with you too spiritually. It's like, in Him you're growing and moving, and your strength coming from Him. You live off His food, and learning to live off his strength, and you're connected to him, and this whole thing about that, and so I thank you, Jesus, for that covering, for that blessing, for that beautiful life making machine of a woman's body, God, and how you made it all to work right. And I thank you, Jesus, that Tanya starts seeing how that you've given her everything she needs as a person to live and abide and dwell in you, and that what you eat, she eats what you eat. She drinks what you drink, just like that baby does. And that oneness, that unity in Jesus' name, that love and that affection and that provision realm, just feeling like she doesn't have to strive for it, but it's just coming natural. It just happens in Jesus' name. How my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Cool. All right, 919-801. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Cheryl in Lamar from North Carolina.
Hi, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl, good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Cheryl. All right. By the way, keep praying for Cheryl from Florida. She emailed me a couple times. She said her daughter had COVID, was in the hospital. They live in Florida. And then she says she texted me or emailed me the next day or whatever and said, now I got COVID. You know, so I don't know how bad. I've emailed her back and asked her how she's doing. This is Cheryl from Florida, her daughter Kara, and they have children, you know, all that thing, kids and all that stuff. So pray for them, and let's believe God for, you know, intervention in their life. I have not heard back from them. I've texted them several days ago, and I got nothing back. So Cheryl, as I thought about Cheryl, I thought about that, and I want to remind you guys about that. So thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl, for my sister, God. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom in the business realm. God's going to show you how to do business with him. You know, Jesus, when he was 12 years old in the temple, he said, don't you know about my father's business? And I see God really opening up the business realm with you, and how to do business with God, how to do business with people, how to do business in life, money, you know, functioning, how to do business, and doing business, every kind of business, doing your business with God. You know, Jesus was about the Father's business. What was his business? Well, he was trying to say, hey, I belong in the temple. I'm not a Levite, but I belong here. It's where I belong. I'm called to God. And so he was about his Father's business. And so what I'm seeing is like two or three different, four maybe different levels of business, where you learn how to do business with people, learn how to, because when you do business for God, you do business with people, right? Because everything God wants to do is about people, about reaching people, I'm a people, about reaching me, how God does business with me, and how that I do business with people, and present the business of the kingdom of God to people. How I do business in the business world, pay bills and take care of money and all that kind of thing. And God's really loosening upon you a business anointing, girl. So get ready. And it's more than just doing business, you know, trade money in a store or something. It's business with God. I hear you saying, like it's the 12-year-old girl in here, going like, they're going to say, what are you doing? What are you doing over here, Cheryl? Don't you know? You don't know? I'm about my father's business. It's like, you don't know who I am? You don't know, isn't it obvious that what I'm doing? You know, I'm about my father's business. And it's like you're finding yourself fitting in. Like Jesus, when he was 12 years old, found himself fitting in among the priests, thinking about the things of God, meditating, talking, asking questions, seeking God, looking for God, being in God's atmosphere, being in the temple. And yet that was his business, right? Yeah. So, anyway, and Jesus was quite a businessman, I must say. So God's showing you how to do all that. Amen. How to do business with people. In other words, when we have a relationship with somebody, how to do business with them. We got transactions going on here between human beings, and how to do those transactions, in a very business-like manner with Jesus. How to do business. Anyway. All right, all that. All right, 610-969. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Shalom, shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. Can you hear me?
Hey. All right. Yeah, Lisa. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to, I'm not going to talk. I just want to say that Devante and Andre are both requesting prayer. Okay, thank you.
Okay, awesome. You're so welcome. Thank you. All right, thank you. Devante and Andre. All right, awesome. I like when people request prayer. Makes me feel special. Even though I know they want, you know, it's not about me. It's partially about me because we're partners with God, right? Yeah, Andre, God's showing you that, about the partner thing. I'm probably about to, I opened up with that being partners with God, how we're partners. And, you know, that's why we learn to work with him. That's why we learn to understand him. You can't be partners with somebody if you don't understand how they do business, like we're talking with Cheryl. How does God do business? How do you do that? And learning how to do business with God and become partners with him, because in business you become partners with God. You know, he's spirit. We have a physical body, therefore we deal with things in the earth realm. And God's shown you how to do things in the earth realm as a partner of Jesus. You know, that he's with you, Andre. He's with you. He's a partner. And you have a real strong business skill. You have a way about knowing how to deal with people, knowing how to deal with men, knowing how to deal with, you know, God's really going to show you how to bring people into the deep things, not just the deep things of God, but the deep things of life. Yeah, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon, for that. Yeah, and so so the whole thing with Andre is, you know, because sometimes we get this thing going on, it's all up to God. It's all up to God. Everything's, and I've said that many times myself, and we know what people mean when they say that, but at the same time, when you actually think about it, you know, the old story about the farmer who had a farm, he got the farm, and my dad did this, you know, he got a farm, had weeds everywhere, it messed up, you know, wasn't shaped up, it was just like left for nothing, and it looked horrible. You know, the farmer, you know, God says, you know, starts talking to him about, you know, how good it looked and how, you know, how it was his land. And the farmer says, yeah, it looked pretty rough until I got a hold of it. It's like God used it. He was saying, God, you know, yeah, it's your property land, but you used me to make it look pretty. And I make it pretty for you, but I still do the work. And so learning how to love to do the work, Andre, learning how to love to work and knowing that you're not working alone. There's an aloneness thing that goes on. God wants us to be alone to a certain degree because when we find we're alone, we're with him. Jesus said he was alone. Jesus, this whole thing, Andre, about you feeling alone, feeling like, you know, Jesus felt the same way. You know, in one sense, we all are alone because nobody really understands us completely but him. Nobody understands our thoughts, our feelings. We don't even understand them except him. Nobody does. So in that sense, you are alone. And you feel that sometimes. You feel all alone. But God says, yeah, but you know what? I always know you, Andre. I always love you no matter what. I know, you know, you're good, you're bad, you're ugly. And I love you. I love you all the way through. Because I know you what? You know what? In a year, you're going to be different. In 6 months, you're going to be different. Tomorrow, you're going to be different. But I don't look at it like that. I look at it like where we're going. And we're going to have fun together building this house. He that labors in vain is when the Lord's if you're building a house and the Lord's not building, it's in vain. Amen. We build the house with the Lord, and the Lord's building it, giving us the instructions. But he needs us. And God's really going to show you that it's not all about just sitting and waiting on God to get something done. You know, we listen for him. He says, "Do this." Jesus said, "I only do." Here's a perfect way of doing it. Jesus said, Andre, I only do what I see my Father do or what I know. Seeing is knowing. It's like, you know, sometimes you just know to do something, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it may not always be a good thing that we do. I know I'm going to do this. But we know it. We see it. You know, that's what seeing and knowing are the same thing. And God's really going to show you when you know something, who you know it from, whether it's yourself or the enemy, or you know it from God, because he has to let you know things. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do or know what my Father does. Yeah, so he's opening up the knowing realm to you so you can know Yeah. All right. Devontae, thank you, Lord, for Devontae. Jesus, I thank you for Devontae, Father. I thank you, Lord, for bringing him to the end of his strength. I've been talking about that tonight. God, bringing us to the end of he who loses his life for my sake, the Lord said. When you lose your energy, using your energy for God, even though everything we're doing may not bring the victory, but it gets us to the place of where when, and like me, I had that dream, Devontae. I had a dream once. So it's an amazing dream. I'm putting some ceiling fans up. It's like three of them. And one here, one there, and one over my head. I'm looking at one of the heads. It's like, it's just something wrong with it. It's just, something just not right about how I did it. You know, it wasn't perfect. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, this man shows up. This man's name was Grace. And took some parts in his hand. I saw he had parts in his hand. And he stood under that one fan, and he literally just threw the parts up in the sky, like threw the parts up towards the ceiling. He didn't get up there on a ladder. You know, I said, "What?" I'm thinking, you know, does he need to get him a ladder or what? No. He picks the parts, throws them up in the air, and all of a sudden I looked up and the ceiling fan was totally fixed. I went, oh, my God. I tried hard. I got it close. At least I got it up there, you know. But it wasn't going right. It wasn't going perfect. But Grace came in and helped me and helped me to get it right. And so when we run at the end of our energy and we go like, it's still not right. Something's still unfinished. Something's still not done here. What's going on? It's like the Lord says, okay, are you done? Like you know you can't do it, right? It's important to try to do it and know that we can't finish it off. Finish the job. Like when Jesus comes back, he's going to finish the job. We do a lot of work in between, preparing the way, fighting the devil, preaching the word, doing business, trying to get, you know, things going on, take care of the poor and the needy. And we do our part, but we know that when we get down to the very end, it's like, oh, God, we're still not winning. But, you know, but we're working it. We're doing it. And then Jesus comes back and he says, here, I'm going to finish it off for you. And that's just the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes. So you depend on him to finish things off, to complete the job. He came and grace came in the form of a man. And he stepped there and he threw some parts up in the sky. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I go like, man, that was supernatural. Wow. But I got it up there. I put him up there. It wasn't working right, but I still got it up on the ceiling, you know. And he came along and he finished it and made it work beautiful. It wasn't working without him. And God's going to show you that we're part of the story. We're part of the plan. He uses us. And we do use our energy up until we get to the point where we realize our energy can't bring the victory. But we do use our energy to love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength. And then when you do that, then God takes over and he says, okay, you gave me all your strength. Now I'm going to finish it off and make it work. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so for my sister, God, in Jesus' name, for Lisa, we thank you for Lisa, God, tonight. We thank you, Lord, for her realizing her importance to stand in the gap. Sometimes getting things done happens in the gap, like the big gap, like the gap. You got the gap, you got the gap, gap, gap. You got the gap. Like, you got the gap? What kind of thing is a gap? What do you got? The gap? Like, you got the gap. Like filling the gap, like you know, when you stand in for people, when you stand in the gap for people, it's like you become the connector that God uses to. You don't do it, but God does it through you. And you become the connector to things, and God's showing you how He's called you to be a connector, and so that He can do it. He does it, but you become the connector that connects it. You know, and God really showing you your part in that, and that He's not going to do it without you. You know, God does it. Yeah. No, he's going to show you that he's going to do it with you and how important your part is. You know, I know you know already a little bit, but how important your part is. How do you communicate the things you're getting? How do you, you know, bring forward? How's God training you, training Lisa how to speak, how to talk, how to think, how to react and respond and do whatever, you know, to situations? Because that's what makes it, that's what connects the power or the grace or the favor or the change that needs to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. All right. All right, 903-808. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Jeannie from Texas.
All right, my friend Jeannie from Texas. All right, Jeannie. I told Jeannie today, I kid with you, I said, it's like you become my real estate lady. He sends me all these properties. You know, because we're looking for property right now with land and hopefully something that already has a studio built, maybe a big house that we can open it completely up or something. And I don't know. Something to start with, and with acreage and all that. So she's looking for land too, her and Hollis. So she's looking for us, you know. And hey, I found these plans. She starts sending me all these things, like some of these real estate people do. I said, I think you're my new real estate person. Anyway, hey, girl, I just thought about this. You're helping me spy out the land. You're spying out the land. Yeah, because you're in the land, right? Yeah, you're kind of in the land. So you're spying out the land. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you, Lord, for that. You know, and see, every time I get information, I try to go, God, what are you saying about the spying out the land thing? It's like, so when you realize that Joshua and Caleb were spying out the land because God wanted them to bring back a report. So I think that prophetic thing in you, that God's for that prophet thing, connecting to Jesus as a prophet, is about seeing things the way they really are, not phony, not, oh, no, there's nothing bad going on. It's all good. God is good. No, I'm saying like Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, the giants are big, and it looks impossible with man, but you know what? God is with us. It's like, and they bring forth the fruit. They brought forth fruit from the land just to show that everything got, because nobody really seen the land yet. Nobody's seen the giants. Nobody really actually seen them. It's like God showing you the giants in the land, showing you, oh, my God, it really is true. They're huge. They're big. Without God, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And bringing back a good report, meaning the true report, they are big. It's going to be amazing when God does it. But God is with us. And then show forth the fruit. God's going to, that you have the fruit in your hand, the blessing, the land, the property yourself, the victory, the finances, the anointing, that to show forth. You know, I've spied it out. I'm a spy, property spy, spying out the land for PGN or, you know, for Jesus actually, and for, you know, her and Hollis, you know, whatever. Yeah, and spying out the land and getting a, you know, one thing I like about you, and I never thought about this before, actually, is that you really do bring back, oh, this is really nice, but, you know, it's got this, it's really nice, you know, it's got, but, yeah. So, you know, it's just, that's, anyway, I don't know why I got Lord to go there with that tonight, but to be a true spy is to share the information from a true perspective instead of some phony, well, the giants are big, but they're not that big. No, they're big. They're really big. But you know what? God is with us, man. We can do this thing. And bringing forth a true report, so when people actually see the giants, they're going like, yeah, it's like Jeannie said, it's exactly like you said. Right, so we share exactly what we see. We don't butter it up or water it down. We tell it exactly the way it is. That's what God has me do. He has me, right now, less people call in the last few days because I'm talking about the giants in the land. And some people don't want to hear about that, you know? But the thing is, I know we got victory because I already know. I've already seen it, just like you. You know, you can see things, and you see the prophet in you can see things. Yeah, and so that's what happened to me is I start telling people, you know, like Texas just become, you know, fighting abortion. You know, that's the word last night about and the one world system. People want us to say, oh, the United States is going to be back like it was. Everybody, just relax. Don't be fearful. That's a lie. That's not true. That's not what the true report is. The true report is it's not going to be the same ever again. Never. That's the truth. The giants are big. That's what it is. But what God's doing is the one world system giants are going to walk the land. But you know what? God's going to build his kingdom at the same time. Yeah. He's going to have some people off in the wilderness protecting them. He's got some people right in the middle of it. He's got two witnesses. He's going to have people from every tongue, nation, and whatever it is, whatever it says. They're going to be there too. We're going to be there. It's going to be amazing. And tell people the truth. We need to tell people the truth of what we see. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to keep saying what I see because what I see is the giants are big. And I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to say something, you know. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because that's what the prophet in me, the Jesus in me does. But he says, you know, guess what? Yeah, God is with us. And but what do the other people do? What do the other prophets do? What do the other spies do? The other 10? They brought a bad report. They're big, man. We got to get out of here, man. And that people got fearful and got worse than what they were already. That's what a bad report does. That's why we're not going to bring a bad report. We're going to bring the truth with a good report. Hey, watch me. I'll get off on that again. Yeah, because that's what my calling is. I'm going to tell you how big the Giants are, but how they're going down. All right, 803-991. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Rita. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right. Okay, Angela. And thank you, Jesus, from South Carolina. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela. Hallelujah. The power of God, girl. I see the power of God, like, surging through your being. Surging through your being. I see some things going on in your arms and your shoulder and in your back a little bit, and your in like, below the lower part of your back where your buttocks is up above, you know, that bone right there. I don't know what that is. Well, God's doing something there, strengthening something. It may be a spiritual thing. I don't know exactly what it is, but I see the power of God surging through your body. And sometimes it's going to happen to you at night. You're going to have electrical currents going through your body at night or something. And maybe more than night, but I see at nighttime because you're relaxed, you're laying there, you're sleeping, you can't, you know, you don't have to, like, figure it out and all that. Your body just works, the Holy Spirit works, and you're, like, going, you probably don't snore, but I do a little bit. But, you know, you're sleeping, and it's like going, like strengthening you, electrifying you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. My God, in the name of Jesus, pour out your glory on my sister, God. In the name of Jesus, loosen her. Takararoha. Let her get hooked up to the power. May the electrical currents of heaven surge through her being in Jesus' name, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet in the name of Jesus, through every part of her electrical current system, in her electrical current system, her nerves, all that in the name of Jesus. I speak your being be filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God surge and vibrate through your nervous system, bringing life and vibration, hallelujah, to your body. Peace to your body, relaxation to your body, healing to your body, strength to your body, relaxation to your body. Hallelujah. Glory to God, my God, my God, my God, my Lord, my God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Precious, precious Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills Angela's every longing and keeps her singing as she goes. In the name of Yeshua. Yeah. Woo! What was that? My God. I don't know. But just get a hold of it. In Jesus' name. My Lord and my God. That was like, wow. Yeah. Yeah, 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 and yeah. Okay. All right. Let me go here. Hang on a second. Wow, I got a hold of that one, man. My gosh, that was, like, amazing. It's amazing. Your grace is so amazing. All right, let's go here. 202-722.
Hey, Randy, it's Nicole from Washington, D.C.
All right, Nicole, God bless you, Nicole. Jesus, I just saw your ears. I saw your ears. I saw your inner eardrum. I saw something going through your ear. I see a nerve. I don't know if it's nerve damage or just, or God, you know, maybe you don't even know you have it, but it's like there's nerves in your ears and like I see the sensitivity of your ear. I know you told me last night sometime when you eat too many nuts or something, too many pecans or whatever, that your ears, I forget what you said they do. They do something, but none of this, that I just, you know, I saw your, like, nerves in your inner ear becoming sensitive to hearing, you know, and I don't know if that's spiritual hearing or what that is or both, but I saw that happening into your ears, your inner ear. It's like your inner being, like God's doing something in your most inner being, and it has something. It's affecting your ears. Your ears are going to like pop or something, or you know, be quickened or something. And that nerve, you know, the nerves are going to come together. They're going to communicate. Nerves communicate. If they're not communicating well, then we don't function well or process information well from our ears. I don't know if that may be a spiritual thing completely. I'm not sure, but in the name of Jesus, I loosen you into the healing, reverential awe of God in your ears. Hallelujah. He or she that have ears to hear, let her hear, let them hear in the name of Jesus. Let them hear this word, God, resonate and vibrate in her, in those nerves in her ears, God, in Jesus' name, and bring to life every dead nerve, every quieted nerve, every nerve that is not sensitive and alive in Jesus. Amen. So that you can sense and hear the smallest vibrations. You hear and sense the smallest vibration. Wow. You know, I remember my dog, you know, our dogs have such great hearing that my dog could hear, you know, the scratching around outside, you know, on the grass, you know. She could hear that, and her ears would perk up. And I, you know, I didn't hear nothing. So, well. Okay, my computer just went kapooch. Just a second. La 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 la. I don't know what that is. Every time I see you, my ears want to hear you. Something like that, whatever that is. Yeah. Yeah. So God is saying to you, he's sensitizing your ability to hear and the communication of what you hear. It's about interpreting what you hear also. You know, we hear things. You can hear God. I've heard God speak to me just like I'm talking to you. And still had to understand what he meant by it. Jesus spoke in such a mysterious way that people to this day go, oh, it's so easy. You know, God speaks. Well, how can you mess that up? Oh, my God. I mean, look at every person who messed it up or who didn't understand. Joseph is just one of the many we talk about. Many, many, many people misunderstood the thing. There's some people, even some of the prophets, when they got things, they didn't know what it meant. John the Revelator didn't have a clue what he was getting. He was just describing what he saw. Interpreting it, a whole different thing. So what I see happening there is the ability to the communication, that goes, the things that you hear, that your ability to communicate it, you know, to not communicate it, but to the communication of it by the vibrations of interpretation, and be able to understand what you hear and what you know in Jesus' name. Because you groan. I see you groaning to know. Like you have this groaning inside you that groans to know. Well, that's the Holy Ghost in you, groaning, with groaning and travail. You know, we don't have praise without the Spirit of God. And with groanings, you have a groaning inside you that God has birthed inside you that you can't put down or stop. And, I mean, there's a lot of different parts of you that there's, you know, the part of you that wants to be a mother, the part of you that wants to be a wife, the part of you that wants to be, you know, a teacher and a revelator and all that. But there's so many different parts of you, and God's starting to heal the parts and fix the parts, put the parts together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Man, I'm getting through these fast tonight. This is amazing. All right, 402-214. Who am I talking to, my friend?
Hi, Randy. It's Sharon, New York. Thank you.
All right, Sharon, good to have you. Wow, just turned down my sound. It's so wonderful to hear you. Yes. All right, Sharon from New York. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just thank you, God, for your presence. I just see you like wrestling with the presence of God, like Jacob wrestling with the angel for the blessing, for the blessing. God, I want your blessing. I want your blessing. I want your blessing. And as tough as you are, I mean, I can tell by listening to you, you one tough girl. You are one tough girl. And it's like, that's the way Jacob, he was like one tough guy, man. He's like, he didn't put up with much. And, you know, you better just like, what he wanted it. And I see God showing you how to unabashedly, unashamedly go in for everything you want, you know, you desire from him. That what you want is his blessing. And that blessing in you is not just about things. It's about everything. Yeah, it's not just about things. It's about everything. Not some things, not most things. I want everything you have for me, God, everything. God's put that in you since you were a child. And believe me, it ain't over yet, girl. And God's going to water that, even though sometimes it causes pain because we have to, like, rise up and realize, okay, I'm going to try to shoot for this again. The last time I shot for it, I missed it. It didn't happen. It's painful to think, you know, can I take any more discouragement? Can I take any more failure? Can I take any more despondency? Can I take any more mistake? Can I take any more things not working like it's supposed to? Can I take any more of this? Like, so you're risking. So when you're at the highest risk level of, I don't know if I can take any more of this, but I'm going to try one more time, God, one more time, Jesus. It's like you're out of energy, you're out of strength, I can't do this anymore. And all of a sudden, yeah, that's exactly where I want you. Yeah. Lose your life for my sake, you gain my life. And Lord, I speak the gaining of your presence, the gaining of your glory, the gaining of your precious peace in my sister's life in the name of Jesus, the gaining, the blessing of God in her life in Jesus' name. She doesn't just want, you know, things. She wants the blessing. She wants the blessing. You can have things without the blessing. Things are just like nothing. But with the blessing, things become alive because it's like a tree. A tree doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like it's alive, but it's alive. It's growing. It's moving. It's planting. It's bringing forth fruit, whatever. It's alive. God made it that way. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, come alive. In Jesus' name, come alive. Come alive. Bear fruit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 912-246. Who am I talking to on the phone, please?
Angela Joy, Georgia.
Angela Joy. Hi, Angela. All right. Angela Joy from Georgia. Hang on a second here. All right, let's go here. Okay. Yeah. Wow. You know how some people know how to work the system. You know, they know how to work the system. You're at the courthouse or something, and you're at the courthouse for the first time yourself, and they've been there like 100 times. You know, they've been there. It's part of their job. They're there every day to get a license or get a something or get a contract or get something. And you walk in there, you're looking around like going, you're confused. You don't know what you're doing. You know where it's going. It's like that lady goes. Or the person goes, "Hey, you look like you don't really know what you're doing. Let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you how the system works. You gotta do this over here first, then do that, get over there, and then you stay in line for a little bit, and you tell it. This is what you tell them when you get up there. Make sure they understand what you're saying. And she tells you everything you need to know about how to get that thing because she knows the system. She knows how to work the system, you know, in a good way and a proper. You know how to work the system. Everybody's happy." Right, because you're working with the system. You're working with the system God gives. When God gives a system, the way to work things, and you learn how to work that, it's like I see God showing you how to work the system of God, the system of the kingdom of heaven, learning how to work it. You know, that's the whole thing about it, is learning about the kingdom. How does the kingdom work? How do things happen? And learning how to work the system. Learning how to work the system of, you know, even not just the praying and getting the system of the kingdom of God like that, and understand, you know, how His kingdom works. You know, in spirit, but also understand how to deal with people, how to handle his business in the business realm, how to, you know, knowing the system of how God does it and how they do it, and learning to work with their system, but with the favor of God on you, learning to work the system, you know, learning to work things, like how do things work, how do things work, and then as God teaches you more and more how to learn to work the system, you know, things go smooth. Because when you go into a place like I'm talking about, to the courthouse or whatever, you've never been in there before, or it's your first time to get your driver's license, you like go take a number, do what, sit over there, what am I doing? And you get somebody to explain it to you. They sit down and say, "Oh, yeah, honey, don't worry. I'm going to show you the whole way through. You got to do this. You got to go. Make sure you have all your paperwork. Make sure you got your insurance papers. Make sure you've had your inspection on your car or whatever that all that stuff is. You got all that? No, I don't have that. You're not going to have that? Yeah. Oh, you know, well, I'll wait. I'll hold your place in line while you go get it. And just helping people, because you understand, you're helping people learn how to work God's kingdom. and the system of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God has a system to it. You know, God made it, and God showed it to Abraham. He showed Abraham, he showed to Moses. He showed Moses the system. He showed Moses how the system was going to work in the temple. He knew the system of the temple. Therefore, you know, he wrote it all down in specific detail. He understood how the system worked. And that way, when you understand how God's system works for the kingdom, then you don't have as much interruption, as much interference, as many problems happening where you're always kind of, I have my driver's license. I got to have my insurance. You get up to the window, finally get there after waiting in line for 2 hours. I got to have my what? My insurance paper? Why didn't somebody tell me that? Well, yeah, because you don't know the system. You know how it works. You can get back out of line, go outside, get your driver's insurance, come back in, work there and everything. But when you know how things work, then you flow with it. Then you go with it. Now, see, God really showing you how to flow and go with the system of the kingdom of God and how it works with people, how to treat people, how to do people. You know, sometimes we shame people. The Bible says, and this is hard for me to do, to shame people for when they're doing wrong and they don't want to quit doing wrong. You have to shame them. You have to deliberately, willfully shame them. Other times it says, be merciful and kind to them. So we have to know the system of how God does and wants to do things before, you know, so we can do it right. Some people are shaming people that need grace and mercy and need to, you know, overlook their stuff. Sometimes people need to be shamed. The world, they're going, you know, yeah, I don't want to, you poor little thing. When that poor little thing with them, they take full advantage of that poor little thing. It doesn't ever do them any good. But when you shame them, there's something about God knowing that you need, Paul the Apostle said, there's some people in the congregation that deliberately, willfully do anything, you need to shame them, openly shame them. You know, wow, try that on for some. And there's some people that just need to be covered in grace and mercy, like they're just as messed up as the other people, but they, you know, so God's showing you the system of how things work, how to do things, how to work things, so that things go smoothly and not everything is a pain in the buttocks. The buttocks or the buttocks? Either one. So, yeah, and how to open up doors, how to work, you know, where the bathrooms are, where, you know, who to talk to, how to talk to them, when to talk to them, when not to talk to them, you know, and just how to read things. I know the system of the kingdom. And Moses got that. I mean, and other people too. But Jesus knew the system of the kingdom too. And because he knew that when they came to get him and tried to kill him, he knew the system. He knew God's going to protect me. But he didn't worry about anything. He didn't get distressed and anxiety. Oh my God, they're going to try to throw me off the cliff. He's going to like. He said, you know, I can't go until my time. So you can't touch me. Yeah, because he understood the system, how things work. You know, but when it came time for him to go to the cross, then that system was removed. The protection was removed. Right? Then they were able to come get him. Before that, he was covered. He was protected. You know, just like the Antichrist or anything. One day, it's all going to be unveiled, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to just be removed off the Antichrist. Not going to go to heaven, not going to get away from the earth, but it's going to be removed out of the way. And all of a sudden, the Antichrist is going to be going like, he's going to have power to do whatever he wants for a while. But who let him do it? God did. The Holy Spirit did. He let him. He removed himself from it. You know, and we're sitting over here, you know, thinking, oh, it's going to be the Holy Spirit's going to leave the earth. He's got to get out of here before that can happen. That can't happen with the Holy Ghost here. Oh, yeah, you know, that doesn't even make any sense biblically because they don't understand the system. That's my wrong doctrine comes from not knowing the system of how the Bible works, not how we come up with our fantasies. Anyway, just don't go there right now because it's Wednesday. Angela. All right, thank you, Jesus. All right, 972-695. What was the score? I want to know what the score was.
What was the score? It was 20, you know, I took a picture of it. Hold on, I'm about to pull it up.
That is a woman for you, yeah, y'all. That's a mother and a woman. What was the score, Mom? I don't remember, but y'all won.
It was 26-16. There we go.
Oh, my gosh. So that's pretty close, like 10 points, 26-16. So it's like 10 points to 11. Oh, interesting. Yeah, good. Well, okay. Now that we know the score, there's probably going to be a word about the score or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, good to have you guys tonight. Thank you. And they had a game tonight. They said, we got to be able to do our show tonight because our son's having his first game. And I texted him and I said, yeah, you know, I remember my first game. And I was, like, scared to death, you know. And that's before I knew I could play better. But, you know, I couldn't play good back then. I was just like flopping around, didn't know what I was doing, you know, scared. So anyways, later she says, "Hey, we won, hallelujah!" All right, and see, you know, I don't know if you were, y'all were probably at the game, but the message tonight you know, I thought about you. You've come on the show before, and you said, "Man, I'm just like wore out. I'm just there's just so much stuff going on in the battles and all that." And so my message tonight, I don't know if you get a chance to listen to the message tonight, Tanisha, you and Terrence, but wow. I mean, and right now I feel the power of God all over me. I kept thinking this might be for them. I don't know. This is for one person, maybe two. I don't know. But for somebody very special. And it was all about using your strength up and that our strength comes to an end where we run out of our strength. And sometimes we think that that's because we're losing, we're going to lose the game, you know. And so if something don't happen quick, we're going to lose this game because I'm running out of strength, you know. But the way the Lord does things that I saw for the first time in my life, it says that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy strength. So we love him with all of our strength, not God's strength in us, our own strength. And we offer up all of our strength to him, and we've come to the end of our strength, then his strength kicks in, girl. I tell you, when I saw it tonight, I thought, I don't know if this is for Tanisha and Terrence, but I know there you go. But I said, my God, being at the end of your strength doesn't mean you're weak, doesn't mean anything. It just means that that's part of the process, you know, that we do. We love the Lord our God with all of our strength, all of our love. You know, that's our love, not his love, our love. Because God has given us our own love to love with, and we love him with all of our love, and we completely at our wit's end of loving with all of our love. Giving him all our strength, we don't have any strength left. He's going like, there you go. Now you lose your life in me. Now you're going to win. Now you're going to win. I don't know what the score is going to be, but the Lord says you're going to win. So when you told me tonight, and I just kind of caught that as I started to get you on the show, I said I'm going to ask her what the score was, you know, just for the fun of it. And so this fits into the message even that I got tonight, and it was about how we win. You know, and we come to our wits' end. I mean, the beautiful part is we dedicate all of our strength to God. Well, our strength runs out, right? Mine does. I have a lot of strength. I'm a very energetic person, a very strong-willed. I can, you know, I'm strong-willed, man. People know me going, yeah, he's really strong-willed. They're right. So it takes a lot to wear me out. Paul the Apostle was the same way. It took a lot, girl, to wear him out. You know, so God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Why? So that he would have to depend on the strength of God, because he was so strong. You know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was like, I mean, and that wasn't a bad thing. He was a beautiful, he was a very dedicated man of God, pure and really a right man, a good man. That's why God wanted him so bad. That's why Jesus knocked him off the door. I got to have that boy. That boy, I mean, I got to have him. He's like, awesome. You know, he does everything with all of his strength, literally. And he even said to me, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I gave it my all. I served God with everything I have. And he meant it, and it was true. And he was one of the few that weren't hypocrites and playing the game. He was true. And so so God gave him a thorn in the flesh because he knew how strong-willed he was, how strong he was. And so it caused him to wear out his own strength, trying to get so that God's strength could kick in. And that's what the message was tonight, was that God's strength for somebody. I said, the word I got before I got on the show tonight was God said, I got to work for somebody. I went, okay, what is it? You know, the Lord's, we're team, right? He said, I got to work for somebody. What? I said, what is it? He said, be still and know that I am God. And the Lord said, tell somebody out there tonight to be still. Because the one reason you're being still is because you're about out of energy. Like, be still because I'm out of energy. Like, I'm wore out. Like, oh, my God. You know, be still and you're about to know that I am God. Oh, my God. And they were backed up to the Red Sea when he gave that word. And that was, you know, I mean, they got delivered. They came out with the money. They had the money in their pockets. And Egypt decides, you know, I'm going to get that money. That's my money. They decided they didn't want them to have that money anymore. They gave them the money, right, because all their dead children and dead husbands in the front living room, and they knocked on the door and they said, get out of here. Take the money. Get out before we lose everything. You know, and then they changed their mind again, right? Now they got the money. Now we're going to go after the money. So they got our money. We're going to go after the money. Got them back up to the Red Sea, and that's when God said, this is a whole different thing here. Oh, my God, when I got this, it was so amazing. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Thank you for this work tonight. Wow. And I saw, you know, that, you know, it's like hopeless. Oh, we got the money in our pockets. We just about escaped, and now here it is. They're coming at, and like all of a sudden, God says to Moses, "Be still, and know that I'm God." Because they've just been through a big ordeal of 10 plagues that blasted Egypt, and like, oh my God! And every time they think they get the victory, you know, we're going to leave Egypt. Yeah, that plague worked. No, wait a minute, it didn't work. That plague didn't work. We thought we were going to leave. That's only plague number. That's two plagues. How many plagues we got? I don't know. Three plagues. This third plague, that'll be it. It'll be the third plague. That's God's moving. Look, the third plague. Yeah, that's it. We're out of here at the third plague. No, wait a minute. No, we didn't. No, wait a minute. Pharaoh changed his mind. You know, Pharaoh changed his mind. You know that, right? His heart. His heart gets hardened. Yeah, you know that. You know that well. It's on the fourth plague. The fourth plague. The fourth plague. That'll be it. The fourth plague. God's mighty deliverance, the fourth plague. Man, I mean, he just smoked the hail begin to hit, and the hail's hailing, and we're out of here now, man. This is it. We're gone. Yeah, no, wait a minute. Pharaoh changed his mind again. Moses, what is wrong with you? You're not doing it. He said, hey, wait a minute. God's doing that. God is delivering us. Just give it. So the fifth plague, the sixth plague, then the seventh plague, and the eighth plague, and then the ninth plague. Oh, and they're wore out. They're going like, he's not ever going to let us go. This is just not ever going to happen. And then finally he says, okay, get the last plague. The plague's coming. The plague of the death angel's coming. Put the blood over your doorpost. Cut a new covenant with God. This is ready. We're fixing to get the money. The money. We're fixing to get the money. Yeah, the money's coming in. Yeah. We're wore out. We're completely out of our own strength. We can't even, how can we travel anywhere when we're like completely wore out from this thing and thinking, is number one plague going to do it? No, number two, number three, and 10 plagues later, you sure this is actually it? Are you positive? Now, come on, is this the one? You sure he's not going to change his mind again? We're not going to start getting, no, we're out of here now. Go get the money. They got the money. They're on the way out. They get up there back to the Red Sea with the money in their pockets. They're loaded. They're loaded to the gills, and then here they come, man. Here they come. It's like, oh, God, I knew it. And you see it, and I read this today just fresh, and you hear the people of God, kind of like we do sometimes, Moses, you brought us all the way out here in the wilderness, and we're all going to die. This is going to be a big graveyard, you know, like we're all going to die, right? That's what we feel like sometimes. That's what I feel like. And like, I knew it. That wasn't it. That last one was not it. That was not it. We're all going down. Now we're going down. Yep, that's it. We're going down. And God so much is now. Be still. Most we're tired of listening to you. No, be still and know that God is going to, you know, going like, yeah, right. This is it, man. We got water to deal with here. Anyway, it's going to happen. I mean, all the other things, we can see that. This water thing, no way. Moses puts his rod out. God opens up the sea, and they're all like going, oh, wow. Is this really it? Is this the one? Okay. I don't know. They'll probably chase us all through the wilderness, but maybe God will protect. I don't know how it's going to happen. Okay, so whatever, 10 plagues, and then another one backed up against the Red Sea plague. That was kind of a plague. We're walking through, and here we're thinking, this is it, man. God, look what God is doing. This is a miracle. He's opened up and made a way. Dear God, this is, whoa, dude. Millions of them passing through. About the time they pass through, you know, the cloud gets moved, and God moves the cloud. Like, that was a mistake. And there they come in their chariots. And Pharaoh says, go get them, man. We got them now, man. This is it. We got them now. This is the final way. They can't get away. We got them now. This is the army. This is the military. They can't stop us now. We got them now. Yeah, they go down. And the children of Israel are going like, God, Moses, why did you have to bring us that? I mean, dear God, what's going on over here? And all of a sudden, Moses put his staff in the roof and on the sea again. And all of a sudden, it all closed up on him because he told him the night before. He told him this. I read it tonight. He said, you know what? He says, look at your enemies for the last time because after today, you will never see them again. See, before, they kept seeing the enemy. Everywhere they went, next door neighbor of the enemy, Pharaoh was their enemy. They were all seeing their enemy. Then they thought they got away, and the enemy showed up. And he says, but this one, yeah, just wait and see. when you look, by this time tomorrow, you're not going to see your enemies anymore. Yeah. That was the message tonight in a nutshell. And I added a few more parts right now, which was pretty awesome. I never saw it before. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you, Jesus, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha, God, and winning the game. Won the game, 26-16. Put those numbers together. See what you come up with. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah, amen. All right. Praise God. That was a long-winded word, but it was, I love it. I love, you know, man, the word was so awful. Bless you guys. Glad they won the game. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I love this stuff, man. I love this stuff. I love the way the Lord does it, man. I mean, you know, half that stuff I didn't talk. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the message, Terrence and Lisa, I didn't talk about because that came out by talking to you guys. Yep, pretty cool. I learned something there. 251-342, who am I talking to you right from, please? 1342.
Randy, this is Latrice from Alabama.
Hi, Latrice. All right.
Hey.
Hey, good to have you tonight. All right. We're going to be praying for you. Thank you. Latrice, let's go here and get your name in there. Yeah, Latrice called into the show with Angela Joy and was letting me know she was listening. What's going on? It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what is awesome. Awesome. What's awesome? Oh, God, you know, that was awesome. Oh, yeah, God, thank you. That was awesome. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's nice. Yeah, that was but awesome. God moving you into the awesome realm. Whoa, now that was awesome. You know, it's like moving into the awe of God. I think that's even, you know, Latrice, I hadn't thought about it, but let me look at this thing. Gary sent this to me. He sent me the Jewish information, and it seems like there's something here about awe. Is that actually part of one of the feasts or something? Hang on a second. Let me look at this. Trumpets. Hang on a second. I think it may be in here. Cool. Got excited with that last word. I was like, oh my God, what is that? Okay, I know it's in here somewhere. I'm looking at a long text, so I can't really. Being of the new moon. Okay. Give me a second, Matrice. I'm looking at something here. Anyway, something about the awe. Is that right? The Feast of Weeks, you know? Days of Awe, that is it. Oh, my gosh, I knew something like that. Gary sent me this about the Jewish feast, the Feast of the Lord by Marvin Rosenthal. It starts the 10th day period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, known as the Days of Awe. Isn't that awesome? A time of self-examination and repentance. You know, and so I saw this thing with you, like, you know, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. But I saw the word awe. And so the days of awe, a time of self-examination and repentance. So, you know, and so God, you know, loosening this spirit around you, in you, within you, you know, because we all stay in an attitude of repentance. Right, because there's always things that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the world. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with people hurting us. We're dealing with people, you know, us not doing everything perfect. You know, we make mistakes. We say the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. Maybe we should have done this. Shouldn't have done that. Whatever. All the stuff we deal with. So we just live in a state of repentance where we're always staying right. Because you know, if you don't stay right with God, it starts building up. So the spirit of repentance. But the base of all, what I saw about that was that. You know, like going, man, that's really awesome. That's really, oh my gosh, that's really awesome. And so the days of awe, God awing you with his awesomeness, awing you with, you know, things, surprises and things like, you know, showing up with somebody showing up with a big bunch of flowers and some presents, like out of the blue, like for no reason. There's no birthdays or nothing. They just showing up and go, here you go. You know, Latrice, we love you. You know, and you're like, oh, my God, what is this coming from? It's so beautiful. You know, and I kind of, and just like being in awe, like weeping awe, like love awe, like, oh, my God, awe. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up the awe realm, where she stands with her mouth gaped open, going, oh, like, oh, wow. The days of awe. And there's literally the days of awe. It's some more information about it. Yom Habim by the rabbi, since it begins, the days of awe, the traditional time of God's judgment, consequently repentance, has always been foremost in the Jewish mind at this time, peace of the Lord. It starts the 10th day, period of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, known as the days of awe. Wow. Yeah, so I kept seeing that word in my mind. I thought, didn't I see that on the feast? So there's something about that. I don't understand all that, but awe and even repentance and bringing, you know, self-examination is like, you know, when that moves into the people that we're praying for, moves into to the people around us where they can't just treat us however they want to, but they end up in a spirit of repentance. You know, somehow they just can't do it anymore. It's like, you know, their heart has been hardened so long that God says, you know, I'm going to bring repentance and change. Yeah, and awe. And that always brings awe. When I see people get right with God, that I go like, they'll never get right with God. Almighty man of God, they'll never get right with God. You know, they're like, they're so messed up. They could, but it's like, yeah, it looks impossible to me. Like, I know God can do everything, but it just looks like it's like, they, you know, I've seen people never get right with God. I've seen that too many times. So sometimes they're like, yeah, you know, that looks like so-and-so. Like, gosh, just don't look like that. Don't look at it like that. And I'm going to awe you. I'm going to awe you with repentance, with things going on. Brokenness, in Jesus' name, can awe you. All right, 863-268. Can I talk to Rick Trump, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki from Florida.
Hey, Nikki. All right, Nick. All right, thank you. Nikki came on last the other night, shared some very awesome stuff about how God showed her how to love Charles and, you know, and helped heal him in that, in some areas that were really awesome. That was a beautiful story. You should go listen to it. Can't remember what night that was, but Tuesday night, Monday night, I don't remember. Anyway, it's really cool. And so, you know, so I thank you, Jesus, for the feast with my sister, God, the unleavened bread, the sanctification, the first fruits, the resurrection of Christ. Was the first fruit of the resurrection, just as we are promised to be resurrected to eternal life. And Pentecost, or the day of feast of weeks, the feast of weeks, the gift of the Holy Spirit, being sealed by the Holy Spirit for those who believe and are born again. Yeah, amen. And so I see people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I see them experiencing the feast of Pentecost. They might get saved, unleavened bread, Passover, and Pentecost at the same time. I've heard of that. I don't know if I've ever seen that. I think I met a person who it happened to, but I don't think I've actually seen it. I've seen people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've seen people get saved, but I've never seen people get saved and baptized in the Spirit at the same time, which really is an amazing thing. I've heard of it. Really awesome. But I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see both those, but you're going to really see people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, a movement of the Spirit of God, people getting immersed in the Spirit of God. Yeah, immersed in the Spirit of God. You know, like almost drowning in it, like it's a flood, and they can't, like, and they're gasping, oh, heaven, no. I didn't know revival was going to be like this. I'm drowning, and they drown in Jesus. But when you drown in Jesus, you come alive, you know what I'm saying? It's like people drowning, dying in Christ, you know, their own life done. But something finally just broken and breaking, and God just takes over, and they're like, oh, my God, look what happened. Yeah, the day of Pentecost, the spirit of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the day of weeks, feast of weeks, in Jesus' name. And, of course, right now we're in the Feast of Trumpets, but that's what I'm seeing. So thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And prophesying over people, speaking things that God wants, that God, not just that God wants to do, but what God is doing in them and what God has designed for them. Because we know God wants to bless everybody, but not everybody receives the blessing. So sometimes we have to speak it into their life and plant it into their life so that what God wants to do will be done. Because Because God does not always get what he wants, right? He wants every person saved. We know that every person gets saved. It's not happening. It hadn't happened. According to the Bible, it ain't going to happen, which is sad. But, yeah, so anyway, thank you, Jesus, for that prophetic utterance, that trumpet in her mouth. In Jesus' name, declaring, decreeing, prophesying, speaking those things in people's lives so they can have something to grab a hold of. Sometimes the word that we speak in people gives them something to take a hold of to get right with God or to change or whatever, to move over and over into the river of God, into the power of the Holy Spirit. I see people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, girl. I mean, like, flabbergasted, you know, like, I mean, like, really just like getting drunk and that kind of thing. And the Holy Ghost. Like a dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just coming out in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 228-918. All right. 228-918. Are you there? 228-228. All right. That's Sharonda. Not really, but let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you for the love around, Father, for 228-918. Thank you, Jesus, for that love around. I thank you, Lord, for filling this person with the Holy Ghost. Filling this person, fill them with your holy love. Fill them, God, with love. Let love, you know, love that's eternal love. The human love, you know, is wonderful. It's wonderful to have human love for someone. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's nothing like it. It makes you feel new, makes you feel fresh, all that. But it can never take the place of that eternal love of God. Never take the place of the eternal love of God. So when we don't make God jealous, when we learn how to not make God jealous, then because you know God is jealous. His name is jealous, and so. When God is jealous, he just like a jealous woman will interfere with the husband's, you know, look like some girl messing with she'll interfere with that. You know? And so the husband with a girl, you know, she sees some guy trying to mess around, kind of slipping on you and mess with you, you know, he'll be interfering with that, you know, like you know, depends on how bad it gets, how hostile they get, like, oh, you know, so it's like God does the same thing. God is a jealous God, and he'll move in. When he sees somebody, when he sees you going after somebody else or something else, or start putting too much attention on something, it causes problems, causes trouble, causes unnecessary warfare. That's what it causes. Because why? Because God's saying, no, don't go that direction. Don't fall for that. That guy's just going to use you. That devil's just going to use you. That situation just going to use you, and then he's going to use you up, and then you're going to be like all miserable and all black, and then you're going to be messed up and like a. You're going to come back. You're going to come back to me, and then you're going to be like having to work through all the condemnation. And he don't want you to go through that. He wants you to like – so his jealousy is used in great tenderness and protection. Jealousy with God is a protection thing, protection for you. And so I thank you, God, for that, that as my friend begins to learn how to not make God jealous and keep all that away, which every person, you know, can make God jealous easily. A lot of more people do it than they realize. They don't understand a lot of their warfare is making God jealous. You don't want to make God jealous because he don't really like us putting other things first at all. It really just messes him up. He gets, warfare. That's all I'm going to say. And we think it's the devil. He call it whatever you want, but it's because we make God jealous. And he intervenes to stop it. So thank you, Jesus, for my friend tonight. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for opening up their heart to know how to keep God happy. And when you keep God happy, you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then all these other things, all the people, all the stuff you need will come running to you. You have to run after it. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching my friend how to do that, how to walk in that, where the people in her life that she needs, the things that she needs, the money, the provision, he or she, whoever it is that you need, will can come running to you. And God will not interfere with it. He will let it come. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those other things that you need will come running to you, yeah, because they're all made. The life is made, the earth is made to take care of God's people. That's why he made the earth, to take care of us, to become a servant. and everything in it is for us. God made it for us. 225-454, can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hello, this is Sharon calling from Louisiana.
All right, Sharon. All right. Call from Louisiana. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing. God, I thank you, Lord, for, you know, one of the things I realized about today when I was reading that about Israel coming out of Egypt and they were back up the Red Sea was that it said when the clouds showed up, I don't know if you've seen the movies or not, but when the clouds showed up, it said that the cloud, this one cloud, the Holy Spirit cloud, kept, you know, the enemy from chasing after them because they were back up against the wall. They didn't have a chance. And so it said that cloud that stopped them, it was one cloud created darkness for the bad boys, the Egyptians, and it caused light for the people of God. So the same Holy Spirit, the same protection of God, what he does, he blinds the enemy or keeps them back with darkness where they can't see what they're doing. That's how God defeats the enemy many times. He just shuts off the lights where they can't see. That's what he did with Paul the Apostle. What did he do? He shut off the lights. He blinded him. So I see God blinding situations, blinding people, blinding, I don't know if it's really naturally blinded, but so they can't, so they won't keep going the direction that they're going. You know, God blinds people. He blinds them for a reason, not because he blinded Saul before he became Paul, right? Knocked him off his horse and blinded him. Why? Because he was such an ornery rascal. He was such a dedicated, he thought what he saw, what he was doing, he thought that was right. He said, I'm seeing right. This is right. These people are blasphemers. You know, Jesus, God himself would be doing what I'm doing. And that's what he really believed. That's what he did. So God had to blind him. And then later on, when a prophet came along, Ananias came along and prophesied over him and opened up his eyes. And so I thank you, Jesus, for the word of the Lord, opening up my sister's eyes, God, in Jesus' name, and binding those things and those people around her, even in her, blinding her to those things where you don't want her to go, what you don't want her to do, and opening her eyes, let her see, you know, what you chosen for her. Let her know that she's been chosen. You have picked her. You have chosen her, God, in Jesus' name, to be used by your grace, but to be used by your favor. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name, chosen. You are a chosen generation. I want to preach a scripture to you. You are a chosen generation, chosen by God, picked by God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 40482. Can I talk to you very friendly? 240482. All right, Valerie. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie tonight. Amen. I think Valerie is from where she's from. I can't remember. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. God, I thank you, Father, for you know, he said. See and not see. I'm trying to get that scripture together here. I don't think, believe. It's in the scripture, but I can't think where it's out of what it says even exactly. The King James Version of the Bible, it is translated as, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. So there's something going on with that right there in Jesus' name. So maybe, okay, here it is. Mark 4, verse 12. It says, a new international verse says, so that they may ever seeing but never perceiving. Ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Now, I don't even know what that means for that situation. That's a scripture that came up in my spirit. 4:12. Let me read a little bit more before that for you, Valerie. Here, hang on a second here. Thank you, Jesus. 4:12. All right.
And he said, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not believe, perceive. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understanding, unless they should turn and their sins be forgiven. I don't understand. I've never understood that scripture exactly. But yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for whatever that means to her. I don't know. In the name of Jesus, God. And so, you know, sometimes we're not held accountable for something until we see it, you know. So all the things that she needs to see, God, that you want to show her, that you want to open her up to, so she can see and be healed, so she can see and have the victory, so she can see and look beyond, you know, where she's at and what's going on. I see God expanding your ability to see, you know, so that you can actually, you know, because sometimes if you can't see it, you don't know which way to go. So when you see, then you know which way to go. So I see God really opening up your eyes, and so you can see things and understand them. Other people, you're going to start understanding why, though they learn the Bible, though they hear, you know, teaching and revelation and preaching, they see, but they never perceive anything. Sometimes just people are like that, and you understand that if they can't see, they can't see. And the blind lead the blind, they all fall in a ditch. If you can't see anything, you don't know which way to go. You stumble around. You can't change. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You know what's happening. It's confusing. It creates nothing but confusion. And so I thank you, Lord, for helping her understand that why people get so messed up, why they do such stupid things, ignorant things, because they can't see. So we need to pray that God opens her eyes, like we just talked about a little ago, where Paul the Apostle, God blinded him so that he could see. Sometimes people need to be blinded. They think they know what's right, and God wants to blind them and then show them the right way. So I thank you, Lord, for all those around Valerie, God, in her situation where you're opening up her eyes so she can see, so she can help open up the other eyes of the people who cannot see, like Elisha did, the servant. He couldn't see. He was in fear. You know, Elisha kept telling him, there's more for us than there are against us, but you know, he kept going, yeah, where are they? I can't see them. You know, when you can't see, you're fearful. You don't know. So when Elisha opened up his eyes and he saw that the angels that were all around that were much more than the army that was around him. There's a great army around him and the servant. There was no help anywhere. But once he saw, then the fear left. So God wants you to really pray and see. Maybe take communion. If you take communion with us on Thursdays or whatever, I've been doing communion for opening up our eyes, you know, opening up our eyes so we can see, because people are going to be in fear. If they can't see what's going on right now, if they don't understand what's happening, they're going to be in fear. They're going to be afraid to move. They're going to be afraid to do anything. Why? Because they can't see. But once you see, you're no longer afraid. You can move and you can go move forward. And so I thank you for that with Valerie, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up. 847, and bless her financially in Jesus' name. 847-239.
Stephanie from Illinois.
All right, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie. All right, I thank you for God. I just saw this thing where you know, you're being blessed, like, you know, when Jesus blessed the bread and the fish, and he gave it out, and it came back with 12 baskets full. That's what I just saw happening with you. I saw that God trying to show you that principle. And I saw this literally, like 12 baskets full coming back to you. In other words, when he blessed that and broke it and gave it out to those, not sold it. They didn't sell it. He gave it away. I love Jesus. He's not a seller. He's a giver. He gave away the bread. He didn't try to make money off of it. He didn't try to raise money. He just gave it all away. And when he gave it all away, when it came back, you know, 5 loaves, 2 fish, fed 20,000 people, and we had 12 baskets full. Oh, my gosh, amazing. So that's when I saw the word 12, and I became 12 baskets full, like God bringing multiplication back to you in Jesus' name and causing an increase in multiplication in your life, where you see how what God has you do actually works. I speak over your seed. I speak over the things that you plant in the kingdom of God and you give away.
that God will bring back 12 baskets full. Because he put it out with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was 5 loaves. That wasn't 12 baskets. That was 5 loaves. You know, 5 loaves fit into, many loaves fit into a basket. Right, so it was much more than what. So increase and multiply her, God, in Jesus' name, with abundance in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, 863-276. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hello?
Yes, can I talk to you from, please?
Destiny from Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, hi, Destiny. All right. Yes, Destiny. Good to have you, Destiny. All right. Yeah. The gold. I saw the word gold. And gold always means, you know, blessings. It always means presence. It always means richness. Gold is the richness. It's the beauty and the richness of God. And so, God, I thank you for blessing her with the gold, with the literal, tangible, physical realm of money, finances, in Jesus' name, with the presence of God. Increase and multiply, God, and cause the gold. The gold, bring the gold back into her life, God. Bring the glory, bring the money, bring the finances, bring the provision, God. I think you guys need a house. I think your mom seems, you guys look for it. Bring her that house, God. Open up somehow, some way. I know it seems impossible sometimes to think that, you know, I'm kind of in that same I'm kind of in the same shape right now myself. Believing God for a building, believing God for land, you know, where are we going with this? You know, I know we're going somewhere. You know, it's happening. God's going to do it, but it sometimes it just seems like, wow, how's it going to open? Especially with the economy the way it is. I mean, the real estate realm is just mind-boggling. So, God, make a way where there seems to be no way. God, open up in Jesus' name that golden provision for my sister, God. Like Jesus said to Peter, "You're going to pay the taxes." So he said, "Go fishing." And the money you find in the fish's mouth, the first fish's mouth, is going to pay for my taxes and yours. God, paint the gold, about the gold and the silver. So bring the gold and the silver, God. Bring it. Open it up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Amen. All right, 720-819. You want to talk to me from, please? Fell asleep. Sleepy bye. I know that is. That's Jeff and Yuki. Thank you, Jeff and Yuki. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for just expansion. You know, like I know you talked the other night about the music thing in Colorado and all that. And so when I see expansion, I'm thinking, you know, when we step out and obey God, whatever it is, whether it's that or things like that, that brings an expansion. Like when I went to the Huckabee thing, you know, I told you about the other night, where she had invited me to that political debate with, you know, place was packed out with all kinds of people, political people, Christian people, all kinds of people, and a debate with a Christian, with the presidential candidates, you know, to be up there debating, and, you know, I'm there. And so that whole thing is going to open up something for me, brand new. And I've never been put in that position. It was a very hard position to put in because I was asked to come to choose, you know, for God through me to choose who's going to be the next David for America. That's what I was called there for. And Janet Folders called me up and said, come do this and believe God. So I go there, you know. And sure enough, you know, that's when Huckabee was chosen. So it's that guy down on the far left. I never met him, didn't know who he was. Didn't have a clue about it. I said, that's the guy right there. And so we poured oil on his head, you know. And all that whole thing just opened up a whole other dimension. It broadened. It expanded me. It expanded Mike Huckabee. It expanded Janet Folder. It expanded a lot of people. It expanded a lot of things. It opened up a door to a lot of things, just the obedience of that one thing. So I thank you, Jesus, for their obedience. Give them strength and glory and presence, God, to open up. It's time to open up. To open up the treasure chest. To open them up. The keys. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Open it up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring things together and close doors that no man can open and open up doors that no man can shut. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 940. Hang on a second. 940-224.
Do I talk to your friend, please? 940-224. Michael
from Texas.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was just fixing to say that. All right, Michael. Thank you, Michael. All right, got you, Michael. Thank you, Michael. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. God, I just thank you for what you're cooking up with him. I thank you, Lord, for what you got in the oven, and it's rising. It's getting ready to get go out of the oven and eat, like some muffins or some, you know, some cake or some, you know, some cornbread or something. I don't know why. I don't know why that's in my mind, but in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for what you got cooked up. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, for the fire of your presence, for your ability to cook up things, to a thing in some way. Jesus said, the Bible said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, when he talks, well done, like, you know, when God does something well, it's done well. You know, he cooks it well. He makes it right. He makes it edible. He makes it edible for us. That's to be able to eat it, us to be able to partake of it, us to be able to understand it, us to be able to know what that means. And so I thank you, Lord, for moving my brother into that spirit of revelation to know what things mean, the signs of the times, let him be able to read the times that he's in, the situations that he's in, and go, yeah, this means that, and I can be ready for it. Because, you know, if we're not ready for it, we don't see it, then we miss it. So I thank you, Lord, that his eyes are open, that he's ready to see, that you give him confidence, God, that you're with him, and that when the time comes, like if you're sleeping, he's going to wake you up. Like he did the ten virgins, remember that? The trumpet blew or something happened, and the announcement was made, the king has come. And so they all woke up and go, oh, okay, we're going to wake up, trim our lamps. You know, so, they didn't miss it because they were hearing it, but then they had to be prepared and ready. They had to make sure they had oil. The five foolish didn't have oil. They were trying to ask them, hey, man, you give us some of your oil. And they're like, I can't. We may not make it either. Somebody's got to make it. So go buy your oil for yourself. So thank you, Lord, for showing Michael how to have oil, how to have plenty, how to move to walk in the plenty realm where he's got plenty, where he's prepared. In Jesus' name, not caught off guard, not caught, you know, just like, you know, like blindsided, but to be ready and prepared. In Jesus' name, the preparation time in his heart, God, in Jesus' name, showing how to prepare, showing him how to be ready in the name of Jesus and opening up his heart, God, to break bread with Jesus. Amen, at any moment, at any time. All right, 951-996-966.
951-966. Hi, this is Regina.
Hi,
Prophetess.
Hi. Good to have you. All right. I couldn't tell if I cut you off. I didn't cut you off there. I don't think I did. You were just greeting me, I think. Thank you, Jesus, for the you know, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You know, that the greeting. Some people say, oh, that's just a greeting. It's not really scripture. That's in the scripture, and it's a greeting scripture. So what better way to greet somebody? So in other words, if you greet them, you greet them with a bunch of phony stuff? No. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for prosperity for my sister in Jesus' name. Prosperity is happiness. Prosperity is joy. Prosperity is being happy. Will you have anything or have everything? Do I have anything or you have everything? And that's what true happiness is. Lord, I thank you for trying her and testing her, God, and showing her that she can be happy with or without. And learning how to be happy with or without opens you up to have more than enough. And I thank you, Jesus, for that time in the season for Regina, God, to bless her, to prosper her. Prosper and be in health, even as her soul has been prospering. Thank you, God, for showing her, opening her up to the prosperity of her soul. How you have been blessing her soul, God, opening her soul, teaching her soul, her mind, her will, her emotions, where she's gonna wake up and go, man, there's a treasure chest in my soul. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, a treasure chest of gold, of the blessing, the presence of God, of contentment, of happiness, and literally, physically, money, and provision in Jesus' name. Open up, prosper, and be in health, even as her soul prospers, God. I think that that's going to be a scripture she's going to shout to the heavens, going to declare to the heavens, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I have prospered and been in health, and even as my soul has prospered in Jesus' name. Jesus, open up that prosperity realm
literally, physically, in the natural, in the name of Jesus, with happiness, with joy, with money, with freedom, with being able to give, with a heart after God, with a treasure chest, laying up her treasures in heaven, laying up her treasures in her heart in Jesus' name, and not just trying to keep things for herself, but giving to God and receiving from God, giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving. That's what true blessing is, to be able to not just you're receiving, 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 give a little bit. It's give and receive, give and receive. He gives me a lot of love, I give a lot of love away. He gives me a lot of money, I give some money away. You know, he blesses me. So give and receive, give and receive. The true cycle of blessing, Father, for Regina, in the name of Jesus. Show her how that cycle of blessing works. And that is supposed to never end. Not ever end, ever. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Never ending, unending blessing in Jesus' name. There's no end to it. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Open that up. Hallelujah. Open up the heavens and pour out her a blessing in Jesus' name. Freedom! Hallelujah. Free freedom. Freedom is free. True freedom is free. Don't think it costs with Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Yep, there we go. We owe him. And believe me, when you owe him, he's so gracious. He's so kind. He just keeps blessing us, blessing us, blessing us. Hallelujah. We give him the glory. Amen. He pours it back in your spirit, in your soul. You're so prospering in Jesus. I see music. I see worship. I see dancing, feasting in Jesus' name. Amen. Like a marriage. I see like a marriage. Like a marriage. You know, like Jesus showed up and had a new wife at the marriage feast. I see a marriage feast in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Regina. Cool. I don't know what that means exactly, but there you go. God is awesome. All right, y'all. I think that's my last call for tonight. I went through pretty fast tonight. I can't believe how fast I got through it. I got stopped a few times, but pretty much just moved right through that. Wow, awesome. All right. Fun. Isn't this fun? I don't know, y'all. I just love it. It's such a blast to speak God's word. You never know what you're going to say. You never know. Where you get all the information? It just comes. I don't know. I just see it. I know it. God's just gracious because he wants to talk to his people. That's really what the root of it all is. It's not about a great gift. It's a gift of God, but it's the gift of God, Jesus being able to speak to his people. That's what he loves. Amen. All right, I'm going to call it a night. That's it. I'm getting up early tonight. It's 11:35. All right, awesome. I've got everybody, too. All right, God bless everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.